The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Live funky thick music from the Jaquino Trio this morning on the Preston and Steve Show.
Imagine if she had to report like a 10-car accident with that funky,
That's right. I'd inform them first. I'm sure they'd have something.
Michael's first solo album is out on the 30th. It is called Travelogue Volume 1. It is a conceptual piece of music. We've heard snippets of it. It sounds fantastic. And one of the things about... Now, initially, we were going to be in Los Angeles... Broadcasting live from Michael's house.
But something happened.
Something came up that restricted
the
travel issues, so we weren't able to do it. And we were very much looking forward to it and would still like to do it someday when the world gets back to normal.
We will.
And one of the things we were also going to do is maybe have Michael invite some of his friends over that were able to come on the air. We're still going to be able to do that today. It would have been really cool to do it in a live situation in person, but... one of them is on the line and ready to go, and I'm very excited to speak to him because he's been in so many great things.
He's fantastic.
But I'm going to play a clip that ties him directly in with Michael, and it is a clip from Inside Out, my favorite animated film. And I'm going to play this. Here we go.
Who's the best in every way? It rhymes the same, can talk the same. Who's your friend who likes to play? Bing, bong, bing, bong. The smart who makes you yell the name.
So clearly, Michael has written some music for him. I don't know what the rattling was. I forgot what happened at that part of the movie.
He's knocking a bunch of stuff over.
That's what it is. All right, please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Kind to the show this morning.
Richard.
Oh, sure. All those people who were there clapping, they got to come in live.
I'm pretty sure they just pushed a button and got clapping effects.
Yeah, no, that was live. That was live.
Actually, we have skills too, Michael.
Clapping for Richard Kind. Richard, thanks for coming on this early morning. We appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, and I did wake up early. I told my guy this is not that this is early for me, but I was going to wake up at like 7:45. Anyway, those are my problems. It's a pleasure to
be here. I could read back the texts. I could read back your text to me.
Yeah, but yes, maybe that would give some insight into what exactly. See, Richard, we lose all perception of time because here locally in Philadelphia, I'm up at 3:45 usually every morning, and we do the show. It's the nature of the beast. But you forget that as we start to do these things, whenever we have people in or on the phone from California. It's obviously a weird thing.
Well, and Richard's in New York, so
he's in New York.
Too much sympathy.
Oh, get out of here!
Come on, it's late.
All right. Hey, well, listen, Richard.
It is outrageous. I'm an actor. I'm an actor. I go out after. You know, after work, I go out for a drink.
You have one big thing in common with our show, and it's the fact you graduated from the same high school as our gal on the program, Kathy Romano. She went to Pensbury.
Well, I dare not say what year. That's not polite. Did you have Mrs. Hallahan?
No. You know what? It's okay.
No, she'd been dead for 30 years.
You can ask what year. I graduated in 96, but I did want to ask you because part of what Pensbury is known for is their prom. Did you have a prom that was like over the top like they do now?
All right. Let me tell you something about our prom. First of all, I know Michael Bamberger, who wrote a book about the Pensbury High School prom. Our prom was not over the top like it became. However, listen to who performed at my prom. Just because I'm Rodney Dangerfield performed at my prom.
Rodney Dangerfield was booked as entertainment at your prom?
And B.B. King performed the year before.
That you see that kind of act at Caesar's Palace, not at a high school prom.
And Rodney Dangerfield was funnier than B.B. King.
Well, that was the rumor.
That's odd.
How the hell did you end up with B.B. King as entertainment?
B.B. King and, at that time, people will go anywhere. They'll whore themselves. They'll go to a prom. They get paid money. They'll go to a prom.
I'll tell you what, one of the greatest experiences of my life was seeing in a small club B.B. King perform and I was maybe 30 feet away from him, and it was amazing. Was he received well, Richard?
Well, what do you think? He was B.B. King.
Different high school kids, though. Would they appreciate B.B. King at the time?
Hell yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You want to know something? I could be wrong.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, if we're being honest, Buddy Holly performed at my communion. So there you go.
I was in the back making out with one of the chaperone mothers. So I don't really remember.
You know, Michael, I don't know if you know this, but Richard also shares. I'm a massive fan of the Batman lore and legend and going way back. And you, Richard, were the mayor of Gotham. On Gotham,
Can you imagine? I will go to my grave saying I was the mayor of Gotham City.
Yes. And by the way, you were sensational. You were fantastic on that show.
I have never seen the show, but thank you very much. I do my little dance, and then I go home, and they give me money. And that's what it is.
That eliminates stress, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You just go in and you do your job and then you go home.
All right, well, you know what? And with that, Richard, I'm curious about, because you have done so many great voice characters in animated films. You know, in A Bug's Life and the Cars films and Toy Story and Inside Out was just heartbreaking. Do you ever see those final products and do you get a real feel for the emotion that you put into the voice work and then seeing it put with these characters up on screen?
Well, you know, on some of the things I will watch it, like, you know, Gotham, I don't watch a lot of the stuff because I cringe. All I do is I watch and I go, how the hell do you have the nerve? First of all, you look like that. You look like that. It's a telegenic, a medium, and look what you get away with. The second thing is that if I do watch myself, sometimes I watch it without sound.
Okay.
Because I know the lines, and I'll say, "Oh yes, I believe what I'm saying on my face," because it's motion pictures rather than motion voice. Now, as far as Inside Out, what are you kidding me? I've seen it 20 times. I have children.
Emotionally, I mean, what a... And your characters, and I don't want to give it away for those who haven't seen it. Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. As Michael will say, it has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with Pete Doctor, and who was the part? I want to say Carmen, but it's not. What's his name?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Ronnie.
Well, let me ask you, besides, so did you guys, Michael and you and Richard, we assume you met professionally first, but what was that meeting like?
Well, we were in prison together first, wasn't it?
That was it?
I think we first met in prison.
And let me tell you, it was very uncomfortable. You know, he would say, drop the soap, and I go, I don't have it. He goes, I'll get you a bar.
It's how it works. You got to learn the language of the prison, so I got it. But you know, that's...
We met on Inside Out.
Okay, all right.
Here's something. And you're going to say, what was it like to work with the composer on Inside Out? I didn't know him for a year and a half. I never met him.
Didn't we meet? When did we meet? Was it at the rap party? I think.
Not the rap party. I don't think I was at that. I wasn't invited to the rap party. But the premiere in Emeryville. Were you there?
Yeah, that's the one. The rap party in Emeryville. That's what that was.
Then I was there. That's what you call that. I call that the premiere. You say?
Yeah, I call it the rap party. Yeah.
Aren't they two different things?
Well, the rap party is basically for the Pixar employees and all of their family. You know, they're they can bring a guest and all of that. So, and there's a lot of people that work there.
Yeah.
Yes, and the world should know that the word rap party indicates we've stopped filming. Let's have a party. The word premiere means we've finished all the work. It's ready to be shown. Let's show it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. So
Michael calls it a rap party. I call it a company premiere.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, now we have the understanding here. So with your work and with your
Only Michael were in showbiz. If only he were in showbiz.
Yeah. If only I understood the terminology.
Right.
I'm figuring it out slowly.
You know what a director does, don't you? You know what a producer does, don't you, Michael?
Okay. I just sit in my room and bang on things.
Richard,
that's all I do.
I wanted to ask you. You were associated with the Second City Comedy Troupe in Chicago. Obviously, improvisational comedy is something you excel at. Of all the things you do with the animation and all that stuff and regular acting, is the ability to improv with the likes of Christopher Guest and other people like that, is that a singular thrill?
Sure. You know, when I get to work on Curb, I get to work with Chris Guest and Jennifer Coolidge and all the people who were in their movies. Right now it's not a singular thrill, because every time I go and improvise, I'm pooing my pants.
Really?
Because it's terrifying. Oh, my God. Not knowing what you're going to say, having to deliver, having to perform, it's terrifying. And, yes, when I was at Second City, was it terrifying? Yeah, but, you know, I'm acting with people who you know, there's no economic consequences. We just got to go out and improvise. And if we suck, then the audience sees a bad show, and we'll do it again the next night.
Right.
But well, you're putting it on film, and people will see it forever and ever, and you just go, oh, dear God. However, the acting, when somebody gives me the lines, I'm not as nervous on film.
Okay.
I'm not as nervous because it's already written. All I have to do is be the character. In improv, you have to be the character, but there is a portion of your person who's making up the words. You know, so you're a little divorced from the character a little bit.
Okay.
And yet, in essence, you should be even more involved with the character, because you shouldn't be there at all. But that's not how I work. So, I'm not that good.
Richard, you mentioned Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we've heard, you know, that a lot of that is improv. Is that where you ended up meeting Jeff Garland, and is that what your bridge to the Goldbergs was?
Absolutely. Here's a little story. Yes, Jeff and I were friends for years. We would go out to dinner after the show. Like I said, I'm a person of the theater, creature of the night. We go out afterwards for I went out for soup. Always. I always had soup.
Why wouldn't you? You're a big star.
Jeff, myself, and Dan Castellaneta, who's the voice of Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were all at Second City together. Jeff wasn't on stage. He was actually in the box office. And we would all go out, and we would, you know, I eat at Jeff's Laugh-In for 2 hours, you know, from like 1 to 3 in the morning, and just talk. And so he is really one of my best friends. And when he was on Curb, you know, he helped Larry develop the show. They needed the character of Cousin Andy. So they, you know, they said, Richard Kind. I said, and Larry said, he's too famous. Okay, now this is 20 years ago. Well, first of all, I'm not too famous. That's the first thing. I said, continue today, I am not too famous. I said, tell him I'm not famous. And so they told him, and they, you know, because everybody on the show who was famous played their own selves, except for Ed Asner, because his character dies in the episode. Larry didn't want people to think that Ed Asner had died.
Right.
So I was on as Cousin Andy and not Richard Kind. He thought I was too famous. We convinced him that I wasn't. They auditioned a lot of people and then finally went with me. And so, but guess, take a guess how many episodes I did up until season 9. For the first 8 years, how many episodes I was in?
Maybe 4 or 5?
It's close. 3.
Oh, well, there you go.
Episodes. Yeah.
Just 3?
Wow. But yet that the impact was so great that people referred to it as the show, that Richard Kind show with Larry David.
Thank you very much. It's about time. Somebody treats me with the respect that I deserve.
Well, so obviously you're from here. The show The Goldbergs takes place in Jenkintown, you know, it's funny. We've had cast members come into the show and not realize that, you know, Jenkintown is where it all originates from. You play the Formica King, who is the nemesis of Murray Goldberg. Can we expect you on the show in the future?
You know, I want to make some little joke about something, but my answer is yes.
Okay.
I think that they're all back from COVID stuff, and I think in November I'm going to be shooting a series of episodes.
Excellent.
From what I hear, I am back.
I have a question for you.
I hope I'm not talking out of school.
No.
No one's listening, Richard.
It's just us.
You want to know something? I know that. It's radio.
Hey, Michael, you know, you obviously, I would imagine, for going back to Inside Out, you wrote the Bing Bong theme song,
yeah.
Correct? Did you know that Richard was going to be voicing it, and did that influence you in what you wrote?
By the time I was on, yes, I knew it was Richard. And did it influence me? No.
Okay.
I do what I want. I don't listen to actors. You start going down that rabbit hole, it never ends. It was, you know, obviously, I think one of the greatest moments of animated history is that moment. That we all, I don't know if I don't want to ruin it, but there's a moment.
At this point, yeah, if you haven't seen it, tough. So go ahead, ruin it.
Yeah, when we realize that Bing Bong sacrifices himself to help Joy get out of the pit of despair and all of that, and it is just devastating. It's devastating. And Richard owns that whole thing so well. It's just incredible. His delivery is just the best.
That might be one of the most.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, Steve, but, you know, and I have a young daughter, and I just saw the metaphor as childhood is going away for good, and I was just like, oh my God, it was heartbreaking, it was tender and wonderful, and all this mix of emotions in it, and Richard, your delivery was fantastic.
He's the best, and I just want to say, like the music.
I'm very lucky. I ride the coattails of true geniuses, of which your co-host is one.
No, Richard, listen, Richard, Richard, I was just going to say that I think, you know, like the musicians, you know, when I always talk a lot about how the musicians bring life to everything, you know, when I give them these black dots on a page, it's lifeless. And then until it's like voiced through their talents, it's nothing. You are the same. Like, you can read these words on a page, but coming from you, coming from out of your mouth, you take it into this whole other place, which brings it to life. And if anyone has anyone ever seen A Serious Man? That movie, A Serious Man. Richard is phenomenal in that movie. So he can pretty much do anything.
Well, Michael,
so.
But we'll have people on the show, and Richard to you as well, obviously. And we have people on the show, and you know someone who legitimately has it, someone who's legitimately funny, and someone who has to sort of not feign it, but can't quite. You know, has to work hard to generate it, and that's something that just comes through. And Richard, that's what you do. I wanted to ask you because I remember briefly, Carol.
Well, hold on. You want to know what's crazy?
Sure.
This morning, I set up my camera and my lights because I have a self-tape audition. That's what you have to do nowadays. You have to tape yourself on your phone,
really,
and then submit it to the casting director. And you hope that it all goes well. Here, I don't give a damn how it goes. Look what I've just been through. I don't care if I get the job. I'm getting adoration at 8:30 in the morning.
8? You got to understand, here's a man who got up at 8:30 in the morning.
We can give you weekly adulation if you need it, Robert. You can call us anytime, Richard.
The thing is, I got up early, so now my eyes are baggy and saggy, all to do this, and I have a prospective job on the line. And I look like crap. I look horrible.
Well, let me ask you, will it in any way, we don't know what you're auditioning for, will it serve the audition if you look this way?
No, I really should look about 8 years younger.
Well, wow. I just...
I already know. It's one of those kids shows, you know, and I'll be a father of a kid, and they'll go, no, we don't want a grandfather, father.
That has to suck. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It does suck.
I did want to quickly ask you because briefly, Carol Burnett had a series on NBC with an ensemble, and you were part of that. What was it like working with Carol Burnett under those circumstances?
Well, under any circumstances, she is deserved of the love and fame and true adoration that she has. She is a superior person, and that always comes through in her work. And when you see her interviewed, that is who she is. Not a just a magnificent woman. She's magnificent, so lovely and kind and great, and such a hard life sometimes.
Yeah.
But she just loves fun. And we had a great time. It was not received with by gangbusters. It was sort of, it was an anthology series. We used to call it the A word.
Right.
Like Twilight Zone or Outer Limits is an anthology. This was an anthology, but comic, half hour comedies, a different genre every week. It could be a musical. It could be a farce. It could be, something like a Jules Pfeiffer-esque type of thing. It could be anything. And he always had decent ratings, but she got – it was hard work. It was hard for the writers. And after 2.5 years of – and nobody here who's listening knows has seen the show.
I did, yeah. 2.5 years,
she just said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I want to go back to what I used to do. And we then did – that cast went and did a variety show. And it was horrible. It was the Heaven Gate of TV shows. It was the most. It was like doing a Heartbreak Kid with Ben Stiller. Horrible. It was
not Charles Grodin.
Wow. You know, you took classic, which was Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, and Carol. And tried to duplicate it?
Yeah.
I haven't got the words. I have to go back to bed.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
All right.
Well,
Liz and Richard, unfortunately, we do have to wrap it up, so you can go.
Okay. I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
I was somewhat in your neighborhood this past week ago, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doing campaigning. If I could do it as Richard Kindon and help at all, I did it for that. But I didn't go out there really. I just put stuff on the door for a guy named, what's his name? You want to campaign for something, you work all day.
Right. But,
Finello, I think it's Christine Finello who's running for Congress, and a couple of other state representatives in Bucks County, which is where I'm from, and they are magnificent. Howie Long, his first name, Hayes. Howie Hayes.
Howie Hayes. Okay.
Okay.
Not Howie Long, the football
player.
Not Howie Long. No.
We're getting some texts that say that, Richard, you look too old and people don't want to vote for these people right now.
Believe me, yes. I know. The youth of America is going to be taking over the country soon, and they're going to,
Long. Well, if after the pandemic and after all this goes away, and it will, if you're back in the neighborhood, we'd love to have you in the studio.
Yeah, we'd love to get two Pensbury grads back together.
Great, yes.
It'd be wonderful.
Great. I'd love it. I miss it out there.
You're phenomenal. Thank you so much for getting up this morning and coming on. We appreciate it.
You bet. You guys are great. Michael, I'll see you in days.
Excellent. I'll see you in days, my friend.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Richard Kind.
Yeah. I love it.
Yay.
Michael,
that was cool.
Yeah, you just
that's
gotta,
so fun.
You just gotta love people like him, you know. And
oh, it's the best. You know, I have met so many wonderful people doing what I do, and I have so many great friends, and that's been the best part of it. It's just the extended family that you grow, you know. And everyone looks at the entertainment business and thinks, oh, it's just a bunch of blah 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 blah. But you know what? I have met some of the nicest people in the world.
No, and people who are truly possessed of a real talent, who aren't covetous of other people, always tend to be the nicest people. And it's you won't know who we're referencing here, Michael, but doesn't Richard sound a lot like Dr. Mike?
He does.
He does. People were texting in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
They remind him of Dr. Mike.
Yeah,
it's a lot like that. Well, listen, we're going to have to take another break. We were going to play a contest with Michael and his bandmates, but we're going to have to do that on the other side because we didn't know we were going to spend 25 minutes with Richard Kind.
Well, this is the problem.
How can you not?
Yeah. You know? It's hard not to. Hard not to.
We deal with this all the time, Michael. We're so entertaining that we can't contain it. Mm. And
now, as we take a break, we have Michael and his trio. We have Mark and Andrew who are playing with him today. Do you think we could get a little bit of Ratatouille on the way out?
A rat that can cook.
Then you pick it. You call it out. You call it out.
Is whatever. It Le Festin? Do you have Le Festin in there? No.
No.
All right. Well, pick it. Let's do. Why don't we do Coco.
I love it.
Let's do Coco. All right. Here we go. A little bit of Coco.
Right. And this is Michael Giacchino. And they are performing live on our show this morning. You can go ahead. You don't have to wait for me to stop talking.
One, two, three.
Michael's new album is coming out on the 30th, by the way. And it is called Travelogue Volume 1. Hence, he's on promoting it this morning and just hanging out with us through the course of the show. So we'll let some of this play, and then we'll break and come back with more.
Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest you may have seen in movies like Meet the Spartans and Disaster Movie, and maybe you've seen him on TV. Please welcome Ike Barinholtz.
Yay! What's up, guys?
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Ike, I loved your tweet yesterday, I guess, or last night or this morning, whenever it was. It said, and I actually read it this morning, not even looking at the name, and it was you, but it said, in Philadelphia, do I go to the party at Billy Ray Valentine's house or get drunk with Winthorpe at Ophelia's?
We can make it, baby. Me and you.
You got a man with no legs?
Babe, you ever seen Porgy and Bess?
I love that.
Yeah, man. Most of my knowledge of Philly is from movies. Like, yeah. I know the Rocky Steps. I know Trading Places. I know the scene where Tom Hanks coughed.
Yes. Yeah.
But I got a guy driving me around. A guy named, he's a tour guy kind of. Yeah. Ready for this name? Jack Forward.
Oh.
That's his real name.
That's a Tom Cruise character.
Tom Cruise is Jack Forward.
I don't have time to go back.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Have you been to this area?
No, I haven't. I'm gonna come back with my wife and do like a proper thing. I'm a history guy. I want to see the Liberty Bell.
I want to
see the Constitution, where you could sign your name and everything. I want it all.
When you bring people into the city, and I do it, when relatives are coming in this weekend, you basically, the blanket statement to make is, if you see it here, it was first in the country.
Yeah, yes.
It's usually the case.
Pretty much so. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
First cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Right here. Ben Franklin had a cheesesteak right here.
I love the Mindy Project.
Thank you so much.
And I think it's one of those cases where, right from the get-go, it called me. I love her.
She's so funny.
And she's such a talented writer. And you were brought on as a writer with the promise of being a character?
Yeah, but it was one of those L.A. promises, which are like, you should do something on the show sometime down the line.
Right.
You know, I'll never see you again.
Was it Mindy herself?
It was Mindy herself.
Yeah.
But then, first day, she's like, hey, I wrote this part for you, and this is what it sounds like.
That's a very good
I wrote this part for you, and I don't know. I think it's really funny. I think she can look at it. And it was really funny, and I really loved it, and it just kind of, turned into this whole thing.
Well, you play this sort of, explain your character. He's an ex-con.
He's an ex-con. I describe him as a chubby ex-con who cleaned his life up and went to nursing school and lives with his grandmother in Rockaway.
Now, the name is Morgan Tookers. That sounds like a name of somebody you guys knew or somebody she knew or...
No, I think she thinks it's funny when I say Tookers. It's such a stupid sounding name.
Right.
So, but yeah. And the other thing she said to me, she's like, listen, I know a lot of guys get on TV and they instantly lose like 25 pounds. I encourage you to eat and be healthy. And so I've gained 40 pounds since we started shooting the show.
Well, she's a nurse. And you had originally auditioned for the role that Chris Messina, who plays Danny Castellano, plays. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about it. All right? Didn't go my way. Bad day.
But I love that guy. He's I first caught my eye in the movie Devil.
Elevator. Yeah.
He's really good.
He's one of those real New York guys, you know? So whenever we have to do like press stuff, he goes, I don't do this stuff. You know, I'm a New York actor. You know,
oh, really?
I get naked on Broadway. I don't do this kind of thing. I don't like to go, you're good at this. You're good at this. I don't like it. So,
it's pretty accurate, too.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like, yeah.
So I like that your character has a unique tattoo.
He's got a giant tattoo. After he got arrested and went to jail for stealing cars, he decided he couldn't do it anymore. So it's a big tattoo in his stomach that says, no more stealing cars. So it's a daily reminder when he gets out of the shower of what not to do.
And you have sort of an elusive mother, a mother that
grandmother.
Grandmother, I mean, yeah, who we have yet to meet.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to meet her. She might be like Verna on Cheers. Remember?
You never saw her.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But then there's also talk of like getting someone like, I don't know. I think Susan Sarandon would be hilarious.
Man, I was just watching that. I can't believe I'm saying this, but that's my boy. I watched it.
Daughter.
Holy
her daughter's Christ. On our show. She's doing a whole like arc on our show. Eva.
Susan Sarandon's daughter is
Eva.
Unbearably
Dude,
hot.
It's insane. It's insane. And then she's married to this guy who's like a pro soccer player who couldn't be more good looking and like shredded. And
really?
Like,
all right. There you go.
It's a bit on the nose, honey. All right, married a guy that looks like me, and now we can talk.
Right.
Jeez Louise.
No, that's cool. But it's a good pedigree. The show, I just to geek on a little bit, it's so smartly written. And, I think it's actually a good time for sitcoms right now. There seems to be a lot of sharp
shows. Yeah, we're losing 30 Rock. I don't know if you guys watch 30 Rock. Love 30 Rock. Yeah. Love that. That's going away, which kind of stinks. But, there's that. And I like the Modern Family.
Yeah.
Show. I like the New Girl.
Yeah, it's fun.
New Girl.
Kathy loves that.
I love that show.
It's good, right? Super funny, and it's good. There's a bunch of good sitcoms on here.
How much influence does Mindy have on writing? And obviously, she has the pedigree of The Office before that, and has worked with Apatow and 40-Year-Old Virgin, that kind of thing.
Yeah, she runs it. Yeah. Like, it's her deal. Like, if she doesn't like a joke, she's like, nah, I'm not doing that joke. I don't get it. I don't think it's funny. I don't
like it. Does she like when you do her the impression of her?
No.
Because that's uncomfortably close.
Yeah, she always does. She always goes, whoa. And it's like every morning all I hear is, whoa. Like she could, a nuclear bomb could go off in San Francisco. She'd go, whoa. Or if we get sent donuts, whoa. It's a bit much.
Same reaction.
It's a bit much.
So I was also a big fan of Mad TV. I thought it was a great sort of counterpart to SNL.
And it was fun.
It was fun. I think it was unfairly dismissed by some critics, and that generated a lot of very talented people.
Yeah, there's some fun people on. Like, you watch Key and Peele?
Yeah, those guys are on there. Great,
I was on there with them. There are some funny people on there, yeah.
When you were there, was Will Sasso still there, or did he just live?
I replaced Will Sasso, which was bad for me, because the fans, like, I made the mistake of going online and seeing what they wrote, and they were like, who is this Asian lady replacing Will Sasso? And I was like, jeez, man. I'm not Asian. Lady, 0-2. I'm friends with Will. He's hardcore funny.
Now those guys, some of the writers, I guess, from Mad TV are also responsible for the. And I gotta say, I don't know why, but Vampires Suck. I watch every time, it's a junk food movie. I know it's that's what they're meant to be.
It's not even McDonald's; it's Burger King.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and I'm like, why am I watching this?
Yes,
and I do every time. And I
was friends with those guys that did Meet the Spartans, and then they call me every time they do a movie. They call me for this Vampire Suck. They go, hey, we're doing a parody of Twilight.
Yeah,
and we want you to play Taylor Lautner. His dad. So I had to play a Native American
doing the
in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can check that off the old bucket list.
So those movies, and sometimes they're confounding because they're throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
But my dad, who's never seen Twilight, saw that movie because they see everything I do.
Right.
And he called me and he was so confused. He goes, Ikey, I saw that Twilight parody you did. I don't get it. I don't know what the jokes meant. So he had a hard time with it.
That's cool. Now you worked with the very famous now pregnant Kim Kardashian in the disaster movie one.
Yes, they're very pregnant. I hope that that baby gets Kanye's looks and Kim's talent. I can see that being just
the ultimate joke, the ultimate irony.
That'd be so bad.
What was that like? Was she cool or was she annoying?
I don't remember. I don't really remember her. I mean, I remember saying like, "Hey, nice to meet you," and she was like, "Hey." And I was like, aww. Oh. And then the one thing I wanted at the time, she was dating Reggie Bush, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, I said to her, I'm a huge fan of Reggie Bush's. And she goes, oh, you need to meet him. And she left it at that.
Wow.
And then I didn't talk to her the entire shoot. And then, like, one day she comes to me and she goes, you missed Reggie. He was here.
And that was it.
That was the last words I ever spoke to her.
So you guys bonded.
Yeah. We really got close. Yeah. I'd say we were best friends in the movie. Wow.
I was looking, you know, the wiki stuff is always notoriously inaccurate, but they have a list of impressions that you do. I know you do some character stuff. But
I do little impressions.
Yeah.
I got,
what's your most obscure?
Most obscure?
I see Ralph Nader listed here.
Oh, my God. Ralph Nader. That might have been a makeup-based impression.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's what they were saying.
I like doing this one a lot lately is our president. One thing I want to tell you all, I'm on the air with President Steve. Great guys. Talking about how much weight they've lost off of an app on the iPhone called Lose It. Now let me be clear. This app has made me lose 45 pounds. And, you know, can I get some more coffee? I'm extemporaneously talking to Barack Obama.
That's really good.
That's pretty damn close.
My best friend is a man named Jack Forward. This is a man who knows Philadelphia inside and out.
Yeah.
He drove me past Kelly Drive, learned that Grace Kelly's from Philadelphia.
That's good.
That's really good.
That is solid.
Dane Cook, I saw?
Yeah. No, I was walking around Philadelphia. I don't know why they call it Philadelphia. They call it Philswelfia. Because it's amazing. It's an amazing city. He told Jason Sudeikis. I'm friends with Sudeikis. We did Eastbound and Down together, and
which was great, by the way.
Thanks.
You're the nemesis.
I was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Everyone comes up to me and goes, "You're not Russian."
You're the Russian bad guy.
I was like, "Well, I think my great grandfather might have been." But
you're talking to Sudeikis, or something?
Yeah. Dan Cook went up to him and goes, "You know what I like about your impression that the other guy didn't do? You nailed my cadence." I was like, all right.
Okay.
Time to let it go.
Thank you.
All right, so wait,
2006.
Sudeikis, the one thing we're always wondering about him is how does he pull in all this primo tail?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. He was supposed to be married for years, and then he got unmarried, and all of a sudden he's like Don Juan.
I mean,
he's crazy.
Got Scarlett Johansson. He's now with
Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman. From
killing it.
Just amazing.
Olivia Munn, right?
Olivia
Wilde?
Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's
two hot Olivias.
That's hardcore.
And Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman. Come on, forget about it.
What I love about the Family Guys, when they can't get the actual celebrity to come and do the show, they'll just get somebody who can do the impression. And so you did Dane.
Oh, yeah, I did Dane for a Family Guy.
Yeah. And I watched the episode, and I have to watch the credits when I watch the Family Guy, because I'm like, I don't know if that's Dane Cook or not. And half the time it will be, and half the time it's not. It's a guy like you.
Oh, yeah. I just kind of plug it. The one I've been doing lately, I like, is, did you guys see Argo?
Yes.
I've heard that it's awesome.
I want to see it.
This is Alan Arkin and Argo. What do you mean I have to make the movie? I don't want to make the movie. All right, fine, I'll make the movie.
Very good.
As Alan Arkin in Argo or any movie.
By the way, it was on over the weekend, one of the funniest movies, the original In-Laws with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin. Just
they
amazing.
They had these birds, these bugs, these insects that would come and they'd pick up the kids and they'd fly away. Really? They'd pick up the kids? You'd think I would have heard something about that in a journal somewhere. No, I guess not.
There's that running joke in Argo of, they say, Argo F yourself. Mm-hmm, and the way that Alan Arkin delivers it every time.
Home run.
Slayed me, man. It's a great movie, but it's also a very funny movie, primarily because of him.
He's great in Glengarry Glen Ross. You don't talk to people like that. That's Gestapo tactics.
He's
it's not professional.
He's also great in Catch 22 when he's explaining to John Voight that cotton. John Voight buys up a whole bunch of, his character buys up a whole bunch of cotton and then dips it in chocolate. And he thinks that's, he goes, it's not cotton candy.
It's not cotton candy what you're eating. It's different. It's bad.
You were with an improv group that that played in Amsterdam for like 2 years. A Chicago-based improv group.
Yeah, it's called Boom Chicago.
How did that come about?
It was like three guys from like Northwestern, and back in like 92 or 93, they started doing shows in the back of a bar because all the comedy in Amsterdam.
They must have had to work on you to convince comedians to go over to Amsterdam.
I'll tell you, man, they had both my arms behind my back, and there's
what can you do in Amsterdam?
Well, I went to the Anne Frank House, the Rijksmuseum every day. Yeah. There's whole chunks I don't remember from my time there. I ran into a guy recently, that was a buddy of mine who I lived in Amsterdam with, and we saw this bartender somewhere. He's like, hey, it's good to see you guys. I haven't seen you since Amsterdam, and I've never seen the guy before in my life.
Right.
And my buddy's like, "Yo, he lived with us for a month."
were you rooming with Josh Myers?
Josh Myers, Seth's brother. I went out there and kind of replaced Seth when he left, and it was me and his brother and Sudeikis and Jordan Peele.
What's your most completely dementia moment? From obviously there are certain things they're allowed over there that now we're starting over here, but any nights that totally
an amusement park there in the south that's like a big fairy tale amusement park, and we went, and I took this one thing and I took another thing with it, and on top of it I took a third thing.
You're three things in.
So I'm three things in.
Yeah.
And so there's all these rides and amazing things, and I spent about 3 hours staring at a trash can.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where I was at. And even my life at that time. Wow. And my journey.
Fairy tale amusement park.
You know how the canals are set up? And it's kind of like a semicircle around the center part of town?
Yeah.
I had taken one thing.
Yeah.
And I was walking around, and I found myself walking in a giant circle.
Yeah.
And then I realized I had done the circle three times.
That's the national pastime in Holland. Walking in circles around canals.
Right.
That's their baseball.
Yeah. It's so prudent to move to not allow cars within the, right?
Just bicycles.
Could you imagine what would happen?
God, horrible.
Wow. Did it translate well? I mean, did the
it did, because the Dutch speak like seven languages.
Right.
And the one bummer was that they're like a very honest people.
Right.
You know, in America, you'll do a show, they'll come to be like, "I was great, we loved it, it was amazing, the whole thing." But in Holland, they'll come up and be like, "Your show was okay. You were not that funny. There was one part that made me laugh, but the rest of it, I was angry. Have a good evening."
Did you do a best of the worst, basically?
We did like all the sketches that didn't make it into the show. And one of them was like a sketch we wrote about the house next to the Anne Frank House. And it's about a guy who says to people, "Hey, if you're sick of waiting in line in the Anne Frank House, come to our house, the Decker House." And you take a tour of this guy's house, and you read his journal from 1944, and you realize that his grandfather was the one that turned in.
I didn't like it. That's a story. That's a story to be told.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
So while the mini project is underway, any other film stuff that you get involved with? Because
we honestly, like, I'm doing like 17 hours a day there. So, it's pretty brutal. But I'm living off of bread from takeout restaurants. Because I'll be on set and I'll come back to the writer's room and they've eaten all the real food.
Do you have Bertucci's out there?
No.
Bertucci's takeout bread.
Awesome. No? Yeah, good bread?
Yeah, good rolls. God.
There's nothing better than good bread, right?
No, I agree. The scripts of the show are so smart and so, you know, and you the ensemble's great. That's the thing that makes these shows work, the ensembles.
Yeah.
I assume when you're writing a script like this, because it's so rich, it takes a long
time. It takes a long time. We have a great writing staff. A lot of guys from Community are writing on it. A couple guys from Jimmy Fallon's show.
How many people are on staff writing?
We got eight, but we just got two more from 30 Rock that came on.
Wow,
we poached them right away. So we got about eight or nine. And it's fun. And the great thing is, too, is that we get really great people to come on the show. We're doing an episode with Seth Rogen in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
which
cool.
Is awesome. And Mark Duplass, I don't know if you guys saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, last
awesome,
night.
By the way, spoiler alert, Bin Laden dies.
Yes.
I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate to do that.
Yeah. Who is he in the movie?
He's one of the CIA analysts. He's a guy in the league, you know.
Yeah.
So we got some really fun people kind of coming in. Eva, Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon's daughter.
My God.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, but why wouldn't you believe it? She's gorgeous herself, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, my gosh. She used to come on Mad TV all the time, and I...
who was your biggest freak out? I used her a lot as well.
Yeah.
Who was your biggest freak out celebrity encounter? Who was the person you were just blown away to meet?
Well, you know, it's funny. When you first moved to L.A., like anyone you see is huge. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like day three, I call my parents. It's like, I just saw the bad guy from Die Hard 2 at Whole Foods.
Right.
Yeah. After a while, you get so jaded. You're like, oh, there's Woody Harrelson crapping in a box. You're a little jaded now, yeah, you know? Yeah. So now, I don't know. I saw Stevie Wonder one time.
That was it?
He didn't see me. But I did see him at the D4 Seasons one time. And that was pretty exciting.
That's it.
I saw Keith Richards one time. I'm a big Stones fan.
That's cool.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, you had a lot that went, as you said, came through on Mad TV.
Yeah.
And worked with. Who was the best to work with and who was the most difficult?
I love Cranston.
Okay.
Cranston came on a couple times. Yeah, yeah. He was amazing. Toughest to work with, Flavor Flav.
Really?
Yeah, Flavor Flav came on set and had issues with the material. And I was like, were you, like, living in a dumpster, like, just 6 years ago?
Yeah.
My God, man.
You were in a Viking helmet.
Yeah, you were in a Viking helmet, and you're, like, I don't... living in a bathtub with Bridget Nielsen.
And you're
going to call cut? Come on, dude.
What was the material? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
He was playing Clarence Darrow.
It was an Inherit the Wind sketch, and he was Clarence Darrow. Now, I remember it was some sketch. It was an opening thing, an opening type of thing, and he came in and said, I didn't talk to the writers. And we sat down with him, and we heard his complaints, and then I think he drank out of the toilet. And Snoop was good, too. Snoop came on the show, and I walked into his dressing room, and I just yesterday got on high.
On high from
the fumes. yesterday, so that's good.
Wow. Do you have, are you married? Or are you
I am. I got a beautiful wife at home. She's waiting for me while I've been on the road a little bit, and
is she involved in the industry?
She is involved in the accounting industry.
Oh,
yeah. I married a civilian.
No, that's a good move.
It's funny because I'll call her freaking out about like an audition. Like, they didn't like me. They like the other guy from Chuck. And she'll be like looking at a spreadsheet for like a $12 billion deal. She's like, okay, I don't care. Leave me alone. You made it.
Right. That's the real world.
That's the real world.
Yeah.
Well, the Mindy Project, I need to mention this in case you have not seen it yet. Tuesday nights at 9:30 on Fox. And it's two more episodes this season. When Mindy's brother visits from college, he tells Mindy that he wants to drop out and start a rap career.
Yeah.
Immediately causing Mindy to panic.
Yeah, it's that kid. You guys ever see Pitch Perfect?
Yes, yeah.
It's that Indian kid from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we wanted to find a hilarious Indian actor in his 20s who could rap.
Right.
So it was him up against him for the part.
He kind of had it.
We saw Pitch Perfect and we needed to write something for him.
Well, really?
Oh, God, he's so funny.
The show's hilarious. You're hilarious.
Man, thank you.
When I saw you were on the cast, I thought it was just a great move. And it is. It's really smart comedy and the ensemble's great. So
that's the, you guys are making my day for that. And for the Smash DVD. Look at this.
Yeah, we're getting a,
come on, guys. Calendar, coffee.
Yeah,
best day of my life.
Really?
And you got, what's his name, Johnny Forward, who's your driver?
Jack Forward.
Yeah, nothing's happening to you in this city.
No, not with him. My God. He's the greatest man in Philadelphia.
Awesome, Ike. Continued success. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys so much, man.
Our pleasure. Let's hear for Ike Barinholtz. We'll be right back. Stay there.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most. We really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So listen, here's what's going to happen, and I'm bringing the audience in on this. I have to tell you this now because our old intern Jeremy, is here. Just stop by for it. We're going to play a game with him because Jeremy is a terrible speller. He's a smart guy, but he just can't spell pretty simple words. And over the years, we've done these spelling bees with him, and they're hilarious because he can't spell words that pretty much anybody can spell. But we're going to do a different take on this, and we've secluded him right now. He can't hear what we're saying.
Okay.
Steve has come up with some
fake words. They're not real. Now, I'm going to tell them that we're using, instead of going with the simple words this time around, we're going to use words that are actually used in the spelling bee. It's going to be harder for them.
Yeah.
But these are just gibberish. It's nothing. I've got definitions and examples of them.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to see if we can spell them. So we usually have people call in and say, they guess. I'll give them the word and they guess whether or not Jeremy can spell it correctly or not. Say he can't spell it every time. Say no.
You will win every time.
You'll win every time. Because even if he gets these fake words right, I'm going to tell him he's wrong.
And if you're on the phone, play along with us. Don't tip the hand. And we in here have to be very committed to it. Because some of the stuff is going to sound a little weird. But like, this is from the list.
Yeah, and I mean, you've heard of that word.
Yeah, some of these are more obscure words, but that's the definition. And that's what it is. And we'll see how long he'll bite at it.
And so everybody wins prize. We're going to get everybody wins on this particular game.
Hey, Jeremy,
he's recording our IDs.
All right, so we sent him into the production studio to record some stuff. You can get him now. We can get him out of there, and we'll pretend like we already got this underway. Ba-ba-da-ba. So here we go. We had a visit from our old intern Jeremy.
Yeah!
Jeremy.
Hey guys, how are you this morning?
How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm lovely.
You're lovely.
Yeah.
That's
your
great.
Legend.
This will be incredible.
Still goes on to this point, and we say this time and time again. You are a very intelligent fellow. You are a Mac whiz, a computer genius.
Oh my God! I text him and call him all the time for any tech support on Mac stuff.
And he's phenomenal.
He's amazing. He can get it done.
Your one stumbling block is your spelling capability.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, people at work, especially, are asking when does this happen again because they just don't believe that I don't know how to like stuff in our like it took me so the operating system we have before we have now is like was a I don't know, Mountain Lion or what Mountain Lion we're at. Mountain Lion, just spelling mountain, that took me a minute to kind of figure out. Like, it's just ridiculous.
So, Jeremy, one of our favorite interns of all time, by the way.
Great guy.
But we figured we'd take a different run on this. Now, you have a difficult time spelling fairly common words, and the fun came out of this whole thing. But we're going to go different this time.
Okay.
We're actually going to give you fairly difficult words to spell. These are words that are from the spelling bee, and we think that maybe since you spell the easy words so incorrectly, your actual knack might be spelling the really difficult words.
Well, that's correct, Preston, because technically, when you have time to, and it's a word we did a little research. When you were slightly unfamiliar with the spelling of the word or it was a longer word, you did better.
Yeah.
By sounding it out in your head.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I also just think about like one word I got right was aquatic, and that was just because of that Wes Anderson movie I've
seen
a couple times.
Oh, okay.
But like, so I remember spelling stuff like that. Sounding out never works.
That was always my suggestion. Yeah. I was like, Jeremy, sound it out.
Yeah.
Now this is, you know, for 28 years I've been told sound it out. Like that doesn't work.
It's just not working.
Yeah.
In this case, too, the definitions were a big part of this particular round of the scripts. We're going to provide the definition as well, and this.
It might help you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, give it your best.
Absolutely.
Swing at it, because I think it's better when you really commit to it, and I think you'll surprise yourself.
All right. So we got callers on the line, Jeremy, and they're going to guess. I'm going to give them the word. They're going to guess whether or not they think you can spell it.
Excellent.
And then we'll try, and if they are correct in whatever decision they make, we will give them a prize. So let me get some callers on the line. I've got Ron. Hey, Ron, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ron. All right, so we're going to give intern Jeremy a word. You tell me if you think that he can spell it or not, okay?
Yep.
All right, the word is tendicant. Tendicant. Do you think he'll be able to spell it, Ron?
No way.
No way.
No way.
All right. All right. So let me tell you. First of all, tendicant is an adjective. The definition is excessively jovial or giddy, often to the point of nausea. Using it in a sentence, Larry was very tendicant, so he was seldom given good news. Tendicant.
Wow. Okay. This is one where I probably think it's a K, but it's a C.
Let's hear it.
All right. T-E-N-D-E-N-K-E-N-T.
That is incorrect. No.
But I don't want to dissuade you. The process you use there, keep using it for each of the words. Yeah. I liked how you tried and in your mind saw the K.
We have such a tricky language.
Now, you've heard the word before, though, right?
Absolutely not. No. I thought you were making it up.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to
set...
By the way,
Ron, you wanted him to get it wrong.
Why did I think of that? Jeez. Sound it out.
Let me go next to... Nice. Maureen. Hey, Maureen, how you doing?
False accent.
are yummy.
Bull yeah. sacks are yummy.
All right. Have a bowl for lunch. Here is the word, nectarine. What do you think, Maureen?
I have absolutely no faith in Jeremy, and I think he will get it wrong.
Okay. Wow.
Nectarine. It's a noun. The definition is, in ancient Rome, a swimming pool used for public urination.
I thought it was
It's like a vomitorium almost.
A swimming pool.
Similar.
Used for public urination, only they swam in it.
Yeah.
In the sentence, it is used, the subway had a smell of a nectarine.
Nectarine. Yeah. K-N.
Well, you know it's nectarine.
Okay, it's so word. Did I go completely wrong? A knock.
Well,
like, is it?
Okay, I thought you were starting with a K when the
no,
word is.
No, I was.
Yeah, the K is silent.
Well, he thinks it might be like,
you know what? Knock. I stand corrected.
So,
good
there
for
we go.
You.
Heard that
good
one wrong. No. I'm going to switch that up a little
okay.
bit. I'm going to go N.
Uh-huh.
N, man, N-O-C-K. Ooh, I'm gonna throw
you love
e
that
in
K.
There. I love it. Yeah, I mean, you guys love the K. All right, so let's say N-O-C-K. E-T-R-E-A.
Do you have a pen to write it down?
I do, and it's in no way helping at all.
Does that pen have any ink in it?
It does, yeah. It just, I think the pen doesn't know what I'm doing.
Jeremy, you're wrong. Yeah. Nocturne is spelled N-O-C-T-U-R-I-N-E, and since
there's
Maureen.
A U in there?
Terrine, yes.
Yeah. Terrine.
Let me go next to Aaron. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, Kathy, can you squeeze one out on air real quick?
Oh my simple God, request. Aaron. The guy's asking you to fart. You going to do it?
No.
All right.
Okay. All right, Aaron, here's the word for Jeremy in our spelling bee. Aphegeus.
I'm going to say absolutely not.
Aphegeus. Wow. All right, hang on just a second.
I have
second.
More faith in you, Jeremy. You're in and around.
All right, aphegeus is an adjective, and the definition is indecisive about dessert or pizza toppings. Using it in a sentence, he had an aphegeus way about him, as if he could not decide what toppings to put on his dessert.
Oh, that's great.
Aphegeus.
Aphegeus. I'm going to say A-F-E-G-U-E-S.
No. I see. You've got. I'll tell you this.
I mean, the wheels
I think
are
you've
moving.
Become a better speller because I see you getting letter clusters more correct. Than,
letter yeah. clusters.
You spell it E-F-F-E-G-I-I-S.
Two
and two I's. All right, let's get another caller. I'm going to go to John is up next. Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
Where'd you get that hat, Kenny?
That
John
is.
Yes. Hang on, because you win a prize. That's my old boss, the big dog, questioning me where I got a hat, because that's payola. If you take a hat, from the record company that sent that in, you could get a fine from the FCC.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a double prize.
Yeah, John, you'll get two prizes, great. John. Hang on. All right, well, first of all, John, let me give you the word. Pipton.
No,
he says no. All right, the definition is, it's a noun, by the way, Jeremy, Pipton. A place of worship often distinguished by vaulted ceilings and stone water slides. Using it in a sentence, at the end of their journey, the holy men were thrilled to see a Pipton in the distance.
This can't be like as easy as I think, right? There's a tricky letter in here.
I don't
well,
know.
Pipton is a short word. I have faith in you.
Okay. P-I-P-T-O-N-E.
No. Closer on this. Closer than this on this than you've been on the others.
Damn it. That's incorrect. It is actually P-I-P-T. You got that right.
Excellent.
O-L-N. L? There's a silent L in there. Hey, these are words that the spelling bee kids get. These
what are
not...
you talking about? You used the silent K in the spelling.
It felt right. Knock. Like, knock on a door. Silent letters are stupid. There's no point for them.
I agree.
Yeah,
I
know. What the hell?
It's part of the English language that is just, that makes no sense
My
at all.
Spelling makes more sense.
Okay. All right, let me go next to, let's see, we have Scott as we're doing the intern Jeremy spelling bee. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. All right, Scott. So this is a little bit different. We're using more difficult words for Jeremy, and we thought maybe since the easy words don't work, the hard ones, he might stumble in and get right. But the next word is Verdishate.
I mean, the odds are getting better. You got to get one sooner or later, but I don't think so.
You don't think so? Verdishate is a verb. The definition is to aggressively solicit for produce. When the troublesome customer began to verdishate, he was quickly ejected from the supermarket. Verdishate.
Verdishate?
Shate.
Shate?
Yes.
All right. V-E-R-T-A-S-H-A-T-E?
No.
Incorrect.
That was pretty close. You're getting better. Words are going to get smaller, so hopefully you're on a streak here.
We'll get Scott the Dark Skies DVD. No, Verdishate is spelled V-E-R-D-I-C-H-A-T-E. All right?
Yeah.
Hang in there, man.
That D doesn't belong there.
It just doesn't belong.
Let's go to... Have you ever heard that word before, Verdishate?
No.
How about Pipton?
I thought that was like some sort of 70s band, actually.
Did you ever hear of a Fegis?
No.
Or Nocturne?
I thought Nocturne was a fruit, and I was definitely...
Nectarine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Well, I thought it was something similar, to a cousin.
When words that sound the same are usually the exact same thing.
Let me go to Captain. Hey, Captain, how you doing?
Gadzooks.
All right, Captain, here's the word that I'm going to give Jeremy this time around. Lundle.
No way.
Lundle. Okay, he says no way. Jeremy, Lundle is a noun. The definition is, in hospitals, it's a container used to transport severed fingers. A Lundle.
Lundle.
Using this in a sentence, the bartender brought us our cocktails as if he was carrying a Lundle.
Okay, I've got like two versions. L-O-N-E-D-U-L-L.
Let's try the other version.
Let's try one that borders on sanity.
That's not insane. Okay. Hey. The other one just doesn't have the E. L-O-N-D-U-L-L.
No, you're incorrect. Oh. Sorry. It's L-U-N, Lundle. L-U-N-D-O-L-E. That's an easy one.
Lundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a lunge.
Exactly. Okay. Like a lunge.
And have you ever seen, like, on medical shows when they're carrying a Lundle around? You ever seen that?
They carry things. I didn't know it was a Lundle.
Well, if the Lundle will hold a finger.
I should have known that.
We'll go to Joey next. Hey, Joey, how you doing?
Durka.
All right, Durka, my man. Here's the...
Durka.
Here's the word we're going to give to Jeremy this time around. It is credis. Credis.
His record, he seems to spell like my wife. I don't have a lot of faith. I'm going to say no.
All right, no.
Show him up, Jeremy. Slam this one.
Credits is a noun. Okay, Jeremy.
Okay, no.
Do the parts of speech help you at all?
No.
Okay.
It's a thing, right?
Yes.
I don't understand how that determines how I spell it.
Yeah.
All right, well, using it in a definition, the part of your fence that your neighbors... Or this is the definition. The part of your fence that your neighbors most often see... Okay. Like a credis, John's true self was only seen by others. Credis.
Credis. All right. C-R-E-D-I-U-S.
No.
You were just a couple letters off. Letters off.
Well, no, I was.
Was the K silent on that one? Like,
is there a K in there? I'll be so pissed.
Your favorite letter and everything.
It seemed like a tricky U scenario.
No, credis is spelled C-R-E-D-D-I-I-S.
Two D's?
And two D's. I's.
Yeah.
How about
but that's
that?
A standard.
What?
That's the standard?
Yeah.
I missed the two I's.
All right, let me go to...
Waste of letters.
We only have time for one more?
Yes.
Okay. All right, one more. So that's going to go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Oh, sorry. I got to turn you up here. All right, so Tyler, here we go. The word is guest role.
Man, you would think he could get one, but on the last one, I'm going to stick with no.
All right. Guest role. He says no. And the definition is to copy one's haircut in an attempt to mock or humiliate. And use this in a sentence. It is, Chuck knew the one way to get back at Ed would be to guest roll him in front of the AV squad. Guest roll.
I bet this has a bunch of double letters in it, right?
I'm not telling you, man.
Damn it. Guest roll. Sounding it out, G-U-E-S-S-T. Troll.
No, no.
Damn it.
Not even close.
It's G-E-S-T-R-O-H-L.
So no double letters in that one.
None at all. No. Jeremy, the first time ever, you didn't get any of them. None of them. You've
really
at least gotten one or maybe two.
These are tricky.
Yeah, there were. We had a couple of other letters left or words left, but those were all the words that we have for the spelling bee. So that's too bad. I mean, they're fairly common words too. I mean, I've heard them on a fairly regular basis. You've never heard any of these words before?
I feel like I've heard gestrel, and now that I'm thinking about it, Ephegus, is that what it was?
Yeah, Ephegus.
I'm going to have to maybe get a calendar with words on it or something.
But do you think you may have heard those words before? A couple of them anyway.
Yeah, I at least a couple.
Okay. Well, I've got news for you.
Yeah.
We made them all up there.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. None of those are real words.
Okay, so like my spelling could have been right. Then. Real.
Technically, you got them all right.
Yeah. So wait, who decided the spelling of these words? Was Nick? Nick decided?
It was me.
Okay, well, I feel like my spelling is better for a majority of these words. Especially Pipton. Gestrel. Yeah, gestrel is better.
You got that right.
I think I got that right. I gave
how about... Give him one additional word.
Oh, like a real word? Or
one of the remaining.
One of the remaining ones. Yeah. All right. Let me give you one more fake word from our list here. Let's see. One that he might be able to get?
I think so.
All right. Epistemic.
Oh, my God.
Epistemic is a noun.
What is it?
It's from Norse mythology, one who could supposedly hear food. See, it was the definitions. Steve made them just off enough to where you might buy it. The one that got me was Ephegus, indecisive about dessert or pizza toppings. And the sentence was, he had an Ephegus way about him as if he could not decide what toppings to put on his dessert or pizza.
It's funny because I'm like thinking to myself, what world do you guys live in that you hear this stuff?
So epistemic from Norse mythology, one who could supposedly hear food. And here's the sentence. The epistemic had to concede that it was the best liverwurst he had ever listened to.
Oh, my God.
Epistemic.
I'm going to say E-P-I-S-T-E-M-I-C.
Yes!
No.
Did he get it wrong?
He added an I.
Oh! All right, well, my spelling's still better. Like, it needs a solid I.
You spelled epistemic, which is completely different. This is epistemic.
The first I is silent, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why that belongs there.
There's only one more on the list.
All right.
Let's do the last one. Convivate.
What?
And it's a verb. The definition is to rebuff romantic advances by feigning insanity.
It's incredible.
Lucy's attempt to convivate Larry's interest ended with her eating a paper bag.
Convivate. Convivate.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So con. Right.
Yeah, so I'm going C-O-N on con. Right. I feel pretty good about that.
V-A. No.
Right? V-E?
No.
All right, well, there's no more letters left.
No. Yes, sir. There are a few more vowels left.
V-O.
No.
V, sometimes Y.
No.
I.
Yeah!
Yeah, Casey.
Convivate.
V-A-I-T.
No.
There's two V's in this thing.
You found that I
you
again.
You got V, yes.
V8.
Goddamn, spell this for 10 words.
Are you spelling stuff with the number 8 now? Is that what you're saying?
V, and then how do you spell 8?
Okay, I see what you're saying there.
As in past tense of eat.
E-H-I-G-T, yeah.
No.
G-T.
A-T-E. No, past tense A-T-E. Of eat.
8?
Yeah.
E-A.
No.
What?
8.
8.
What is the past tense of eat?
To have eaten.
No. ATE
is what
yes,
I'm gonna say.
You got it right. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay. Makes sense. I do approve of that spelling now that I got a chance to look at the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jeremy,
good
you're
sheet
awesome.
Right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. You're right. Let's hear it for Jeremy.
Yeah.
Everybody. He is a good sport. Love having him by.
Great right. words. Great words.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay where you are.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat.
for all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit and work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, get cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
Our next guest has been in our studio before. He's back. You've seen him in movies like The Usual Suspects and A Few Men and Casino. And maybe you've caught Kevin Pollak's chat show as well. Welcome, Kevin Pollak.
Yeah. Thank you. Please be seated.
Of course. How are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I'm kicking life square in the nuts, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Taking it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
The chat show is obviously it's an award-winning show.
We've done it 4 years now, yeah. Which is hard to believe.
Sam Levine and LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton, yeah. Sammy's like, he says he's the kick in the side, but he's technically like a sidekick.
Yeah, right.
But it really is a one-on-one interview kind of setting. And, we now spend a couple hours with every guest, and we do our own research, so there's no time restraints, no censorship. It streams live on YouTube every Sunday.
Kevin, prior to this, had you done any interviewing before? You had never done that? Yeah.
I've been on every talk show as
sure.
a guest.
Yeah.
Dating back to a couple dozen with Carson and all of them, really.
But it's different sitting on the other side and asking the questions.
I realized that I always had been sort of fascinated by autobiographies.
Yes.
People's journeys.
Yeah.
How the hell did you get from there to here? Mm-hmm. That fascinates me.
And you can take even the most basic story and there's something to glean from it.
Well, I got a good producer, this kid, Jason McIntyre, who one of our producers does a research for me. So my Saturday is screwed. I spent about, I don't know, several hours with a 30 to 60 page dossier on every guest trying to come up with 6 or 8 pages of questions, you know?
Right. Now, have you ever, because you will go long form to the extreme, a 2-hour interview with someone, have you ever had someone sit down there and you're
average,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Why am I still
20
here?
Minutes.
Yeah, they're giving me nothing.
Got the message. Yeah.
You know, initially, I learned not to tell people how long it was going to be. Because here's what you guys probably found, too. If you tell someone up front, we're going to talk for an hour, or we're going to talk for 2 hours, they'll always say, well, I have nothing to say.
Yes.
If you don't tell them, you can't shut them up.
Yeah.
If you're loaded with enough interesting questions that are off the beaten track, went almost 3 hours.
When you said my Saturday was screwed, when you said screwed, it reminded me of your impression of Alan Arkin. Mm-hmm. And the way that screwed came out sounded like him. Have you had him on the show?
Yes, I had him on the show.
And how did that go?
He was in town for the Academy Awards for Argo. And
boy, was he amazing. And I really wish he had won.
He's always amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he won for Little Miss Sunshine a few years before for the same category. So it's tough to pull that off in just a couple years later. But, so he came by and he talked. I don't have a lot of time. Can we just get into this already? How long am I going to be here? Am I still here? Yeah, he was great. He was great. I love him.
Do you ever want to, like, get somebody who is in, like, your daily routine, somebody who, like, gets your coffee or the checkout person or person who pumps your gas and sit them down in that chair and go, okay, how did you get here? Do you find anything maybe interesting in that?
Alan Arkin?
I hesitated because I don't want to suggest that they all don't have interesting journeys as well.
Yes. Right.
I mean, I honestly believe everyone has an interesting journey for the most part. I get like a million downloads or something, so I have to think beyond. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know how my producer's going to research that person.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. There's like a whole bunch of wiki information on your dry cleaner.
There's a lot of homework that goes into this.
There was a great series on, and I forget which network it was, but one of the reporters, and it was one of the major networks, would do this, and they do it like maybe twice a year or something like that, but he'd literally have a map of the United States. He would throw a dart behind his back. It would land somewhere. They would go to that town. He'd stop off at a phone booth that tells you how old this is, would open up the phone book, randomly stop at a page, put his finger on a name, call that person, and then do an interview with him, and it was always fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds great. The randomness of it sounds fantastic. The problem I already anticipated, just as you were suggesting it, is that, you know, I was a comedian first, so I've traveled the country telling jokes to drunks for 35 years. And turns out everyone thinks they have a fascinating story. And also turns out, they don't. Not so much. Most people live wonderful lives of you had to be there.
Yes. You just hit it right on the head. You just hit it right
that's,
on the head.
That's why, yeah.
Meanwhile, I depend on these people, and they're paying a ticket price. Should they be fortunate enough to get into Helium to see me this weekend? you know, I love them all madly, but yeah, I got to.
Well, of all the things, since this has become such a time consumer in your career, you do the acting, you do the stand-up. If you're immediately asked to label what you are, what do you respond?
Yeah, it's a tough one, really, because most people, I guess, know me from movies, so I guess I usually say actor.
Yeah.
Because however people discover you is how they know you, right? So I'll run into somebody, and they can quote my stand-up act from 1984. And there's no convincing them, oh, you're in movies now, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
That's what they're going to know you from.
Yeah.
That's you make it easier for them by doing that. Your first role was in Willow?
The first one, right. I'll talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. The first non-adult film?
No, it
you
was...
You were one of the brownies. I
yes,
remember
yeah,
that. That's
yeah.
right.
Me
yeah.
and Rick Overton. This way! No, this way!
Yeah. Yeah. How did you get that?
Actually, Rick Overton, another wonderful comedian, was hired by Ron Howard, the director, who they had worked with a couple times. And he said to Rick, I need you guys, you and this other actor, whoever's going to be the two brownies, to sort of act as the comic relief
right.
guides for our hero, sort of an R2-D2 C-3PO, but, you know, little 7-inch tall
right.
Mythical characters called brownies. And so who do you improvise with? Who do you find funny? And let's bring five of them in, and you guys will improvise each one at a time. And so I was one of the five that Rick selected. So I had him to thank more than even Ron
was
Howard.
George Lucas was, I mean,
producer.
This is a movie. You know, when I get your first big movie, I guess.
Oh, sure. I mean, the one before it I make fun of because it opened on a flight.
wow.
Between New York and Philadelphia. And you had to have a round trip to see the whole thing.
Yeah, that's not a big opener.
No, yeah, no, that's not.
What was it?
It's usually not a
It was called
good
Million
song.
Dollar Mystery. And okay. It was a ripoff of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Okay.
And it's starring a bunch of comedians, some of which you may know, Rich Hall.
Yes. Yeah.
Was that a scavenger hunt?
Yeah,
film?
Well, we were looking for three Glad bags, well, $1 million in each bag. Let's stop talking. really was
Move on.
My favorite part on Willow was, and I write about this, my first book came out a few months ago called How I Slept My Way to the Middle. And it's true. And my favorite moment on Willow was when my dad came to visit, because we shot on the largest blue screen facility, and it was in Northern California.
I remember it was technologically, I mean, as you would imagine,
Rick and
huge.
I were
yeah.
8 inches tall, right, so yeah. we, every man's dream. So we had to be superimposed into the thing.
Right.
And my dad came to visit the set, and I introduced him to George Lucas. And he said to George Lucas, as he shook his hand, "Nice to meet you, sir. I really loved E.T.
Wow.
And I thought, all right, my dad's Homer Simpson. This is my dad.
Of all the things that you do and have done, is it like your children where you don't love anyone more than the other, but you love them differently?
Oh, no, there's some crap, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't crap when I said yes, but that's the problem with being a gun for hire, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so much out of your hands. And
But you also avoid the damage of bringing the movie down because you're at the forefront, so you can... I think no one ever looks at a supporting actor and says, well, they brought the movie down. So you can dodge that bullet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the beautiful thing I write a lot about in the book. One of the reasons it's called How I Slept My Way to the Middle is that you've heard it's lonely at the top. I'm here to tell you it's fantastic in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I kind of have what I think is a perfect actor's career in that I get work based on my work. Right, I get offers, which is what any actor dreams of, and paparazzi doesn't chase me down the street.
Yeah,
they don't care. I mean, they did cover, and TMZ did cover my divorce. The bastards must have been a slow news day, but you know, I get a table at a restaurant based on my face or whatever, and that, you know, those kind of all those perks and stuff.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I mean, we have here in town in Philadelphia, the celebrities are more the TV news people.
Sure.
And now more actual celebrities are paying attention to Philadelphia because they realize, well, there's a lot of people here. But for the most part, if you're on radio, you have a little bit of notoriety, but you can go about your daily things.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so you see some people, I also think if someone's as big as, say, a Tom Hanks, who seems to be able to manage it the proper way and manage the TMZ folks and all that stuff. It's just, you just have to have a certain sensibility about it and you can handle it.
Yeah, you gotta avoid controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a series here in Philadelphia last year where they would bring in actors, directors, and talk about their career. And they brought in Robert Zemeckis, and it was at the Kimmel Center, which is a performing arts center downtown. And it was a really cool series because it was just those guys talking about their movies, the stuff that they've done, and not necessarily promoting a certain project that they're just promoting at that time. Mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon came in and did talked about all of his movies. Have you done stuff like that? Have you done like retrospective on everything that you've done, and fans can just ask you about whatever?
I'm actually setting up a little tour of that kind of thing. It's a variation of the chat show where I kind of got the idea with filmmakers, because it's interesting you mentioned Zemeckis came here, because I had a bunch of filmmakers on recently, like Barry Sonnenfeld, who did the Men in Black movies, and Matt Shorty, Eli Roth, Paul Feig, of course, did Bridesmaids. I realized that I should probably find theaters and do Q&A where the audience gets to ask questions, but also I interview them as well. So we're in the process of setting up a little tour like that. Judd Apatow wants to do it. A whole bunch of Chris McQuarrie, the guy that wrote The Usual Suspects. We're gonna do something like that.
Because people like us find that stuff fascinating. But
they're movie fans everywhere,
right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. But not everybody wants to talk about A Few Good Men for the 1,000th time, you know, or a millionth.
Well, if the questions are interesting, I mean, that's the thing, you know. When somebody comes up to you in a bar and says you can't handle the truth, that turns out they're right.
Yes. I know you joked and you said you've done some pretty crappy movies, but I've always wondered, like, when do you know that it's a crappy movie? Do you know while you're filming? Do you know when the reviews start to come out? Like, when are you cued into that it's not so great?
No, that's a good question, because the wheels come off at different times. Yeah, you know, when all I have is the script. And who's directing it and who's in it. So I kind of base my decisions on that. It starts with the script. If it's great, I'm in. But it would help if the director and the other actors are also great. And then you work your way back from there. And then, you know, sometimes on the set you get a sense of it. But a lot of times you don't.
What was the earliest that you realized, okay, this is not going to happen? Does a particular movie come to mind?
I hate to say, but I will.
Yeah.
I hate to say only because a lot of people actually like this movie and come up to me randomly saying how much they like it. But my friends, and we use it on the chat show a lot to bust my chops whenever somebody wants to take a shot at me. There's a movie called Juana Man.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We've actually referenced it quite often as well. Yeah, yeah.
So when I said yes to that, Will Smith was the star of the film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He wasn't the star.
Was it Bill Bellamy? Who was it?
No. His name is Miguel Nunez.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You had done The Usual Suspects.
I'll tell you, actually, his name is not Will Smith.
you had done the Usual Suspects on the heels of another movie that I didn't get any, like, you know, acclaim or anything like that, but I loved was Clean Slate. I loved that movie. I don't think... I didn't see it in the theater.
David Harvey?
Yeah, David Harvey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
he has
Olivia
a short-term
Diabo.
Memory situation.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Dude, it is such a good movie, and you were great in that movie.
Thanks.
I don't know what your experience was like on that set.
It was good. It was good, yeah. Mick Jackson, the director, is an interesting cat. But I'd known Dana Carvey. We started out in San Francisco stand-up comedy scene around the same time, so we've been friends forever, and... I have fond memories of that.
What's the dynamic when you're on a set? I assume it's an ultimate bonding situation because you're acting is very intense. And
you're with these people more than your own life,
right?
On average, you work 12 hours a day on a movie. Now, work is an interesting word for it because 11 of those 12 hours you're on your ass in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure it's a noble profession.
Have you ever been on a film? We talk about with A Few Good Men, and mm-hmm. I assume you know you have interaction. Maybe you had a fair amount of interaction with Nicholson or whatever. Have you ever had the situation where you assumed you were perhaps more friendly or had more of a friendship than you did have?
I'm one of those people who avoids that.
Avoids that, yeah.
Like the plague.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it never happens. Even when we're working together.
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would hate to be that guy.
I tell a lot of stories from the book in the act now. Again, if folks are fortunate enough to come to Helium this weekend, starting tonight, about working with Nicholson, for example. You know, I'm just one of those actors or whatever who just doesn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Ever. So even though I'm working with him and, you know, I have every right to engage him in a conversation. I just don't. Like, I'd walk into the hair and makeup truck in the morning at your first stop, and there, you know, he is. Kiefer Sutherland's also in the movie.
Sure.
So Kiefer would come up to him and say, hey, Jack, you want to get a drink after work tonight? And then Jack would say, that sounds great, Keith. What time should that be, do you suppose? And I'm thinking, why can't I talk to Jack? Why can't I take Jack Nicholson for a drink? How did he do that? Well, he just walked up and asked.
Yeah. You assume there's a, but I understand what you're saying. You assume there's a pecking order, and you want to be, even if it's in, only in your mind, you want to be respectful of it. Yeah.
But I just don't want to ever be the one
to have him turn to you. You know, like
now. Consequently, if you treat me like an equal and engage me from day one,
right?
Like I talk a lot in the book and in the act now about how ridiculously professional and generous Tom Cruise was.
Yeah,
and how I expected to be, you know, insanely intimidated. He's a giant movie star.
Sure.
Whatever you think about him as a person, he's a giant movie star. And but he was just minute, if not second one, we were absolute equals. And that was bizarre.
Yeah.
And then he made the mistake of me making me feel like an equal. So now I'm busting his chops every opportunity.
right, about anything. Right,
you know,
right.
You know.
And does he respond well to that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, that's how weird that got. That was like, you know, giant movie star, and within 19 seconds, he made me feel like I belonged, and I'm giving him crap about whatever I want. And it was, I stood back from it after a week of rehearsal thinking, am I being a little rough? I mean, you know, if you make the mistake of making me feel comfortable, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's what we found. The people who get to that level, people almost always, the handlers will sort of try to run interference and
it's
tell you not to talk
handlers.
About things.
It's always the handlers.
You get to the actual person and you realize why they're the star they are.
Yeah, one of the things about booking the chat show myself is and now we're 170-something guests into it, 4 years. I've never dealt with an agent, manager, or publicist.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, only because when I've been faced with having to, I just say, all right, pass.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, you got cut right to the chase. Yeah.
Speaking of the chat show, in case you're just tuning in, we're talking to Kevin Pollak. One of the things that that we had talked about, and Steve had brought me up to speed on, is something that you'll do with Sam Levine.
Yeah.
Who tweeted?
Who tweeted is the game.
And we've come up with some tweets.
All right.
In case we'd like to try it out.
Sure.
On you if that's all right. So
it's a game you can play if you want to go to kevinpollakschatshow.com. We have a little game set up at the site. You yourself can play a version of Who Tweeted with Sam Levine hosting right there on the site.
How are your chops?
I don't know. Let's find out.
We're going to find out.
All right. All right. So here's what we've done. We've taken tweets from four different accounts, and we're going to have Kevin see if he can identify who the tweet is from. So the candidates are here. We have Amanda Bynes, Kendall Jenner.
Don't know who that is.
She's the youngest of the Kardashian
that would
crew.
Be why I don't know who that is. I'm not kidding.
Justin Bieber.
Sure.
And the United States Department of Agriculture.
Fantastic. All right. So Bieber is one of the three when we play.
Yes.
He tweeted on the chat show.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I can't twerk in these jeans. Do you know what twerking is?
I think so.
It's a little dance girls do with a butt cheek slap together.
Yeah.
I can't twerk in these jeans.
That's got to be the, what was the fourth one, Choice?
The United States Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jenner again.
He got it right.
Yeah!
Kendall Jenner. 1 point for Kevin Pollak. All right, how about this one? Did you just toss that carrot stick away?
That's got to be Bynes.
That is actually the United States Department of Agriculture.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Sorry, that was the one truly obvious one.
Of course, right. It was produce involved.
Here we go. I only smoke tobacco. I don't drink or do drugs. I've never had a bong in my life. I need to get another nose job after seeing my mugshot.
Oh, well, that's Bynes.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes.
Slam dunk.
Yes. All right. Let's see. How about this one? I need Nicki Minaj's wig person stat.
Also Bynes because of the bald head.
Very good.
Very good, sir. Not bad at all. Let's see.
Wait, you think you're dealing with an amateur?
No.
You came up with the damn game.
I knew you were formidable. Here's another one. I love music, my fans, my family, my friends, and I love the Lord.
Wow.
Babes.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn good.
4 points.
Man.
Let's see here. Let's go with this one. Help me. What should I have for dinner?
Oh my God.
Hashtag indecisive.
See, now, because you mentioned food, I'm tempted to say the administration. But there's no agriculture necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like the carrot stick you put out in front of me last time. I'm going to go Bynes.
Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Jenner.
I knew it was one of the...
She's a big fan of meals.
How about this one? Keeping bacteria at bay on your grilling day?
Wow, that's really hard.
Yeah.
That's clearly all four of them. What you've done there is you've tried to trick me.
Yes.
At one point, each of them tweeted that.
Yeah.
There's no incorrect answer, but I will go with the agricultural.
The Department of Agriculture. Yeah. That's correct. Yes, very good.
So that would have been a tough call, though. I agree. Yeah.
And then finally, we'll do this last one. I'm not crazy.
It's easy.
My mother? that's got to be the Bynes.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, not bad. Nice job.
Well played, sir.
I love that. That's a fun game. You could easily, like you said, you've got a version of that on.
Well, it was created by our head writer, Jamie, who also created the Larry King game that I forced the guest to play at the end of the interview.
It's a very funny concept.
Yeah, Larry King game. Each one is done at the end of the thing. It's improvised into camera. You're doing Larry King, and you're impersonating him in one of those buffer moments where he decides to share something about himself and then goes to the phone.
And the worse the impression, the better.
Yeah. The three rules are, I want a bad Larry King impression.
Yeah.
A good one is never good enough, so a bad one is always funny.
Like that.
So, and it takes all the pressure off having to try to do a good one. Right. So I really want a bad one.
Okay.
And then the second thing is you, as Larry, share something about him that no one wants to know.
Okay.
And then you go to the phones, and if the name of the city is funny sounding, it's helpful.
Okay.
I'll give you the prototype if you want.
Yes, right, please.
Thanksgiving. I like to teabag the gravy boats before the guests arrive. Schenectady, hello.
Schenectady. That's classic Larry King.
Yeah.
I love that.
So anyways, so Jamie created that game as well as Who Tweeted.
You can check out old episodes at youtube.com/Kevin Pollock Chat Show.
Or on Earwolf, the number one comedy podcast network.
Cool.
We just started doing it with them.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Well, enjoy your time in Philadelphia.
I'm excited to be here. Very much so.
Thanks for coming by here, Kevin.
Great to see you all again.
You got it. Kevin Pollock, everybody. Yeah! We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
It's brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. McGuff Bus Company is now hiring for experienced drivers. McGuff offers flexible schedules, industry top dollar pay, and more. Visit McGuffBus.com.
We got this story after we got off the air yesterday. I wish we would have had it when Don Felder from the band The Eagles was here in our studio for a great sit-down conversation that we have with him. But here's the story. A woman allegedly stabbed her roommate after he refused to stop listening to rock music on Monday night. 54-year-old Vernette Bader became angry with her roommate after he didn't want to stop listening to the Eagles and watching television with his brother.
Stabbing because of the Eagles. I just don't get it.
Bader explained to the 64-year-old man that she didn't want to listen to the band, and he told her to shut up.
Jesus, man. Could you change the channel? You, man, if you like my music, get your own ass. I had a really rough...
I'll flip this side and kick your ass out.
Man, come on. I had a rough night, and I hate the Eagles, man.
Was that her?
It was like right out of that.
By the way, that's what she would sound like if you've seen the picture.
Oh, yeah, she's a looker.
She's a chow hound.
Whoa. Police said that she grabbed a serrated knife from a kitchen drawer and swung it at her roommate. Did you say chow hound?
Yeah.
That's what she is. The two men wrestled the knife away from Bader, but that didn't stop her from going back into the kitchen and grabbing another knife.
Wow, man.
She admitted she stabbed her roommate.
I put a hat on my ass and walked backwards. This is really bad.
Yeah. What kind of voice do you think would come out of that, Steve?
You should listen to the Eagles. Don't forget to pick up some tape pods.
She admitted she stabbed her roommate to the police, but claims that she did so out of self-defense because he was choking her. But investigators did not see any marks or injuries on her neck. Maybe they should have checked her waist. He probably thought he was choking her by grabbing there.
What do I choke?
Bader was charged with criminal domestic violence of a high and aggravated nature and is being held in county jail pending a bond hearing. In 1976, two students died while exploring the Blue Hole, an underwater cave connected to a deep lake in Santa Rosa, New Mexico.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, shortly thereafter, police divers collected the students' bodies and made a rough, incomplete sketch of the first part of the cave. After that, the entrance to the cave was covered with a grate to prevent anybody else from getting in, and since then, nobody has entered it until now. This past Friday, the grate that sealed off the cave was to be opened to a special team of divers from the ADM Exploration Foundation to explore...
Divers.
...what lies beyond. Divers from the group, which has explored thousands of caves in the Americas, will produce a detailed map of the Blue Hole Cavern, as well as take video of the exploration to make it into a documentary. I have not seen a follow-up of this yet.
You know, when I look at this thing, it creeps me out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's claimed a number of lives.
Yeah, divers made measurements in the 70s suggesting that the cavern is about 225 feet deep. It's not known how far back it goes or if it gets deeper. Wagers... they said that they wager it's connected to other caves in the area, which is known for having several deep lakes consisting of flooded caverns and artesian wells in which pressurized water seeps up from below. So it'll be interesting to see what they find.
Yeah.
A woman in Northern China has had to receive hospital treatment after she says a snake preserved in rice wine jumped out of the bottle and bit her hand.
Wow.
The surprise attack happened when the woman went to top off the bottle with more wine. Remarkably, the snake,
wow,
which had been pickling for 3 months, was still alive. The woman named Lou, who was...
the name is Lou.
...who received treatment at a local hospital for inflammation, had bought the snake wine to try and cure her rheumatism. It's a widely held belief in China that such wine boasts medicinal properties, and it's not the first incident of a pickled snake seemingly coming back to life.
I have to imagine it happens all the time.
One Mr. Zhang was bitten by a snake in 2009 that had been preserved in a bottle of rice wine for 2 months, and in 2001 a villager died after being bitten by a pickled snake as well. So they're all the rage in China, those pickled snakes.
Oh, God. Delish.
Let's see, and we have time for one more quick story. A passerby lured a runaway lion into his car and then called police for help.
Hey, I lost my puppy.
The lion was roaming an upmarket suburb in Kuwait. The lion, which police say was a young adult, glared out the back window at police. Police are seeking the owner of the lion who has illegally raised it as a pet. And nobody was hurt or anything like
that. It's amazing.
They just saw a lion and invited it into his car.
Can we keep him?
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file. So we'll be back in a moment. Hang on.
Hit up the WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a four-pack pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
The National Enquirer is reporting that Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin has a nasty habit of smoking about 60 cigarettes a day.
Whoa, that's three packs, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, we knew he was a chain smoker, but that's heavy duty.
A source has told the tabloid...
Home Alone Smoking is the new movie.
That he's put his nicotine addiction into overdrive. Almost every time I see him, he has a cigarette dangling from his lips.
Now, is that good for you?
And is puffing furiously. Maybe it's a workout program.
Yeah, it's a total workout. Feel the burn.
He's coughing a lot, his teeth are yellowing, and his friends and family are worried he's killing himself. So, next time you see
Macaulay, home alone.
He might be smoking, you never know.
Yeah, I'm home alone.
Oh, no. Now he's got one of those.
Yeah, the wet bandits are in the house. The wet bandits are in the house. I'll throw my tarantula on one of them. I'll throw my tarantula on them. Are we having fun yet?
That is awful.
No, it's great.
Wrong.
So wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to foil your robbery.
Oh my God.
It would be scary if that happened. It wouldn't be as touching, let's put it that way.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Momo. I hit you in the face with the paint can.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, so anyway, listen, hey, he should stop smoking if he wants to avoid a scenario like that.
You don't want that.
We did that for your own good.
The more you know, right?
Right.
Wait, I got the music.
The more you know.
I think you may have caused some car accidents just now, Steve, by doing that.
I don't think it's going to get any better than that.
No,
today.
No.
We can just go home.
Yeah.
Go on today.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. There's your Daily Rush clip.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah, you can't move on from that.
Here, somebody just spit Red Bull out of their nose. I just texted over. Wow. Okay. Let me see. What else do we have here for you?
Nothing.
People are already requesting that for the Daily Rush.
Okay.
Somebody says you're their effing hero. Steve.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Home Alone 2 coming out soon.
Oh, my God.
Okie dokie. Well, there is a film coming out. It is called Now You See Me. There's some big names in this movie.
Oh, huge names.
And the trailer looks very, very cool. And we'll get the synopsis of the movie and all that stuff. But one of the big names is here in our studio. And you've seen him in The Social Network and Zombieland and a bunch of other stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Eisenberg is here.
Hello.
Morning, Jesse. How are you, man?
Oh, great. How are you?
Doing very well. So, yeah, I'm digging, number one, the concept of this movie. And then, number two, seeing the trailer, it looks huge. It looks really, really awesome. I mean, this is about Vegas magicians, a group of them together.
Yeah.
And I can't quite tell if you're really pulling off these robberies or what's going on. How would you describe the plot of the movie?
Yeah, these like four of the best magicians in the world are brought together to like pull off these bank heists with their magic. And it actually is, not only is it like real in the movie, but it's actually possible to do.
I love that. I was wondering if that was the case. I would assume it was what was well researched, but
yeah.
And so they're sort of high tech Robin Hoods,
yeah, exactly.
With a bit of magic involved. But what it seems to me is, and this is an interesting character for you because you always play sort of an everyman, like a regular guy who's who's very organic. This is a guy who's very much playing a character all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's a showman.
Like, yeah, he's like the best magician in the world.
Right.
He's like has like kind of the attitude of somebody who feels like he's the best at something
and relishes pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. And in fact, at least it appears to be the case, these robberies will occur with forewarning and in front of people,
and
the people being robbed will be right there witnessing it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they pull off these like bank heists with their magic. They steal money from like corrupt business leaders, and
right?
They distribute the money back to people who've been stolen from, and then Morgan Freeman plays this like magic debunker who reveals to the FBI how he did these tricks. So,
like an Amazing Randy type.
Oh, is that what he does?
Yeah, well, Amazing Randy does all that debunking. Yeah, same sort of stuff.
Sounds like a not Amazing Randy. sounds like just a regular Randy.
Yeah, regular Randy.
Yeah.
Average Randy.
You should call him the regular Randy.
Yeah, it's better for like alliteration. Anyway. Yeah, so then like the audience watching the movie gets to like figure out how we did this because they explain, you know, they explain how we did these tricks.
I love that concept. You have a number of heavyweights, as we were saying before, with Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm. Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher, yeah.
Mark Ruffalo.
Your personal favorite, Isla Fisher?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Love her.
Is there kind of a Robin Hood type of thing to it as well? From watching this, it seems like the audience also gets to partake in the riches, like the money. You guys don't keep it; it's thrown out to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, like people who have been stolen from, we get them to come to our show. They think they're just selected randomly to come to a magic show,
That's great.
Actually, we reveal to them like they were all stolen from by these like kind of corrupt insurance companies, and we give the money back to them.
But there's a level to it too that you're doing this and you're being very cool with that and these Robin Hood type characters. It's also there's a part of it that's just you want to screw around. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my character loves like magic. He actually doesn't care too much about the ethical implications of what they're doing. He kind of just loves magic and
wants to prove he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So in preparation for this, I'm sure you had to get into the world of show magic.
Mm-hmm.
And from the scenes that I've seen, there's a lot of really big illusions that take place.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, did you have to sign any agreements that you wouldn't share any?
No, listen, I signed nothing, so anything you want to know.
No kidding.
Yeah. Here it is.
Okay. But are you now privy to some of the secrets of magic that you weren't before?
Yeah, I think like there's a few basic principles of magic, and once you know them, you can kind of figure out how most things are done.
Do you know what's funny is that people, I remember for a while they had the Masked Magician. Remember he was revealing all of the illusions. For that audience that actually believed that these people were Merlin and were conjuring things, I found it fascinating to find out how they were done. It was never to me a betrayal, you know?
Right.
And that's the big thing. These, no matter how large these tricks get, they're still riffs on basic principles of magic,
yeah,
correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So we, the cast like of the movie went to see like David Copperfield. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave us like front row tickets to his show because we just did a movie about magic, and we were just like really obnoxious trying to like
try to figure out
how he was doing everything.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So you do this one thing in the trailer where you hold up the card like this, and then you go like this, and the card changes. Can
your description's
you really, do
really
that?
Good for radio.
No, we have video cameras.
You hold up the
in
card
here.
Like this, and then you do this. That's amazing.
It's sort of like this.
Yeah.
Did you pick up because?
Well, can you do that? I
could do it on the radio. Sure.
Well, we have video here.
Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, we do have video. Here.
Why do you have video here on the radio? How is that working? Who watches this?
We are a multimedia juggernaut here.
Oh really?
Yeah. We're even in Braille. So it's great. We got it covered. Yeah.
You guys are like the Ted Turner of Philadelphia.
That's right. Yes. Did you have to learn, because there are certain exercises with the rolling of the coin and stuff like that for these things?
Yes, I have like decent hands, but there are people with better hands, and so like in the movie, I'm doing some amazing stuff, and they did bring in stunt hands.
Stunt hands.
Yeah, these guys are incredible. You should look them up. You probably own the internet as well. So there's these guys named Dan and Dave Buck. They're these twin brothers called the Buck Brothers. These guys are like the best card guys in the world, and so they would film their hands and then put them on my body.
Therein is another trick. So
yeah, that's a movie trick though.
With a movie of this scale, and obviously, there are many scenes in which you're in front of a large audience.
Mm-hmm.
Was that weird to adjust to? Because a lot of your movies are on a more
more intimate scale.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I do plays
Did
in
you?
New York, and like it freaks me out to do a play. But I don't know why. It was just fun to do this. I don't know why, because we were, playing really confident people. And sometimes when you're playing a confident character, it makes you force yourself to be confident.
Is that fun? Is that fun to just because I guess you have no. The sky's the limit. You have nothing to answer to in the character. You can decide how this person's going to be.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because you're playing it, you could decide what he does. And yeah, it's kind of fun.
That's
and,
cool.
And Woody Harrelson is in the movie too, and the two of us like kind of like improvisation. And so we were performing together as these magicians on stage, and it was just a lot of fun.
You guys have a great energy, and as Zombieland, he to me seems like a fascinating guy. He walks the walk on so many levels.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys struck up a good friendship?
Yeah, we're friends. He's a really interesting guy, as you could imagine, and he works so hard, even though he plays like a lot of characters that are like so casual, and that's his kind of like iconic persona, as like this laid back guy. But he's like the hardest working guy you'll ever meet.
Right. I've read that he struck up a pretty good friendship with Paul McCartney.
Yeah, they're friends.
Did you try to glom onto that at all?
I was not invited to the house when he went.
Wow, yeah, wow.
I was uninvited.
Yeah. You were uninvited?
Well, I remember like we were working on a movie and he was going to Paul McCartney's house and I was kind of like trying to insert myself in the night. And then and then he said he was busy. So, yeah. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. And you could hear Blackbird in the background.
Yeah. I have a tattoo of it on my chest. All the lyrics.
Did you strike up a friendship with Justin Timberlake after Social Network?
Yeah, I mean, he is like a very busy person, I realized.
Yeah.
We're never in the same place. Or maybe if we are, he's like in a better version of it.
He's in the VIP section.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jesse, did I read that you're a drummer?
Oh, you may have read that. It's not totally true.
I played the drums
when I was younger, and maybe I think somebody put it on the computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you bailed on that at some point?
Yeah. I realized it's really loud, and my mother started yelling at me, and I stopped playing.
But your mother's a performer, right? She's a...
My mom was like a birthday party clown.
A birthday party, but like a folk singer type?
Oh, yeah. She was like kind of came out of the hippie movement, so she was playing like Laura Nero for children.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she's a birthday party clown. Was she doing that while you were growing up? Did you help her? Were you a clown as well?
I was not officially a clown, but I would help her. She would like, you know, tune her guitar every morning, and I would sit at the piano playing the note so she can tune her guitar. Yeah, it was sweet. She was like a really like good performer, actually. It was fun to grow up with somebody who's like comfortable with themselves and not like an uptight mother.
And your sister is the Pepsi girl?
She was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember.
Wait a minute.
You remember that?
The little girl who...
Haley Eisenberg. Yeah.
No way!
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, should you know that. Yeah, it's like a very obscure fact in the world.
Well, I mean, she was...
She was big.
You couldn't turn on the TV without seeing her.
Yeah, that's true. There were a lot of ads. Yeah, she's adorable. She goes to... I mean... college now. She's like, okay.
Oh man, Jesus. Yeah. It seems like it was yesterday she was doing those things.
I know, it is very strange.
Is acting something that she has moved on from, or would she still
like to
pursue
that? Yeah, she's
studying
like justice. She's gonna, you know, get children out of jail.
She didn't get into the soft drink world. It wasn't her.
No. I think she occasionally will drink one, but no, she's not running the company.
She wasn't inspired by that.
Yeah,
I got you.
No.
What's next up on the roster for you after this? Because yeah, obviously you're working a lot.
Oh yeah, I just finished a play in New York. We're kind of like gearing up to do it again in a bigger theater.
Do you like doing? I mean, obviously being on the stage. So many actors say that's where you really feel the craft.
Yeah, it's a totally different experience. You know, when you do a movie, you shoot it over the course of like 4 months out of order. So you'll start the first day, you'll be shooting like the end of the movie, and it's really bizarre and jarring because you don't have like the character, you don't have the feeling of what the character is going through. But on a play, you do the whole show in order every night. It's like it's a better experience
with that and the filming schedule and the way that it does lay out there, because like you said, they don't do it in chronological order. They do it in what spaces are available and so forth, and what production teams are available.
Exactly.
When it's done, when you're finished, and you finally put your part of the job to bed, and then you wait X amount of months before you're able to see it again. Mm-hmm. When you do, I guess it's different per film, but when you see it, are you sometimes surprised about what was edited, what was left in, what was not, how it turned out?
Yeah, exactly. I don't watch the movies I've been in for that reason. It's like...
You really don't?
No, it's like the most disappointing experience. Even if the movie's great and I've gotten to be in like great movies, it's always just not how you remember it or not what you were trying to do because it's been edited so much.
You haven't seen how awesome Zombieland is?
I saw a little bit of it, and that was kind of more fun to see because the movie was like a video game or something. I think this movie is kind of like that too, but I don't know. It's just too disconcerting to see the side of my face.
Well, your director, was it Louis Leterrier?
Yeah.
He did the Transport movies. He did the Incredible Hulk and Clash of the Titans, so he's used to big, big stuff.
Yeah.
Are you dealing with CGI or any type of effects in this, you know, that you had to?
There's a lot of computer stuff in this movie, but actually all like the magic that we do is almost all live. Like,
wow.
He wanted the magic to look as real as possible, so without the kind of aid of computers.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You have to ask about Mark Zuckerberg, and I know he came out when on SNL.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Are you guys, do you share a lot of stock, Facebook stuff?
I wish we shared that. Unfortunately, all we share is 2 minutes of NBC screen time.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he was a little more generous with the other stuff.
Rat bastard. He's got all that money.
Well, no.
It's interesting because you talk about performing live, and I've seen interviews and saw him when he did the SNL spot with you. He always seems really nervous, you know, and you command the stage. You do plays. You do, you know, performance in this movie in front of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. He just seemed like, for as powerful and as influential as that guy is, he doesn't seem very comfortable in front of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a strange skill set. I was like on a show last night, a talk show that Barbara Walters was on, and she was saying that she is so nervous in her personal life, but when she's like sitting across from like a world leader and is asking them if they've killed people, she said she, for some reason she just feels comfortable.
That's when it kicks in.
Yeah. Some people just feel comfortable performing and less comfortable living.
It's true. People come alive on the stage. There were people like the classic story was with Judy Garland, you know, had to be hypnotized before she'd go out on stage, and then she'd be in the. I mean, that's just a complete dichotomy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, when you're doing the play, can you do anything else, or does that, like, consume all of your time?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like you perform only 2 hours a day, but you spend your whole day just preparing for it. Like, I was in it, and the other actress was Vanessa Redgrave, and she's, like, you know, an older actress, the greatest actress of all time. You'd think she wouldn't need to go to the theater every day at 3 o'clock for an 8 o'clock show, but both of us would get there at 3 o'clock, start panicking for 5 hours, and then do the show.
Is it 8 shows a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you
can. And you know, and that's it's significantly fewer people that are going to see a film. Is it mainly the rewarding aspect of being in front of a live audience and getting that immediate feedback?
Yeah,
that keeps you coming back.
And I write the plays, so it's like a way for me to like you know express my thoughts about the world. There's a play coming here called Venus and Fur. I don't know if you heard of it.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, my director actually directed it. I think it's coming here next week. It's a really great play. I'm on the radio now. So,
yeah. Get the word out.
Sure.
How about
and
directing?
Also, Subway sandwiches. Everybody has Subway sandwiches? Delicious. They do have the $5, 1 foot of a sandwich.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. You've got this business thing down.
Yeah. Comes with a free 90-ounce Pepsi.
Oh
can't drink that in Manhattan.
A souvenir cup.
Yeah.
Yep. You can wear it as a hat if you want to when you're done.
You're from New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you visited any of the shore points since the storm last year or anything?
No, I was actually away when that happened, but my dad like fixed up houses in South Jersey on the shore, and they were like washed away. There was like a refrigerator that went through the kitchen of the house.
Whoa. Really?
It's awful. Yeah.
Were you a going to the shore kind of kid growing up, or
no? I was a staying indoors kind of kid. But I'm aware that the shore was there and that I had access to it, but I never.
I didn't see you hanging tan on a surfboard.
No. I don't tan. I stroke.
Staying inside kind of kid. Were you a bit of a loner growing up? Or
yeah. I didn't even have like an inner child to hang out with.
Wow, that's really sad.
You couldn't even work that up.
Yeah,
wow.
No.
Well, now life has certainly turned around.
It's okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now You See Me is coming out May 31st, and like we said, there's an amazing cast that's in this, and I would ask you how it is, Jesse, but you haven't seen the movie, so
I've heard it's great.
You've heard it's great?
It looks damn good.
I've heard women love it. That's what they're telling me. Women love it.
Women love this movie?
I say, well, that's half the population.
Right. Yeah. No, it looks pretty intriguing. I like the concept, and it looks big and fun, and a kind of how they do that type of thing.
Yeah. I love it. You know, when you have to do a little figuring out, I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially heist movies are just great if they're executed properly.
The movie makes you feel like really smart for the whole thing, and then at the end, when you realize what was happening, really, really stupid.
Good. Okay. That's the object. Yes. Yeah.
I do like that. Awesome. Well, good luck with everything, Jesse, and
thanks for having me here.
Jesse Eisenberg on the show. All right. We got to take a break. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families, staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out Business Challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Should I play this clip first, Casey,
do you think?
Yeah,
sure,
Well, a little teaser.
A little bit of music from Drunk Texts to Myself, which is his CD. Let's play. What's this song called?
This song is called God Hates the Tips.
Okay, here we go.
God hates the tips of little babies. So if your kid's a male, even though he'll scream and yell, you gotta cut it off or the little souls will burn in hell.
our love and covenant. A few then went and raised objections, saying they didn't see the connection. But he said, I'm God, so none of this needs to make sense. He told us, go and cut him with the scaffold. Go and cut him with the scissors. Or go and perform a matitza of a pet.
Nod to the circumcision. Trevor Moore is here. The whitest kid you know. How you doing, Trevor?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Thanks for coming in.
Last time we had you do was for Miss March.
Yeah.
A
couple years ago.
Yeah. You've been busy, obviously.
Yeah.
Considering the ramifications of circumcision.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, by the way, Trevor is partially homeless this morning.
I am. It's snowing here.
It is. Yeah. Trevor came in. I guess you took a red eye in, Casey was saying.
Yeah.
And so you can't check in your hotel till about 4 o'clock today.
4 p.m.
So yeah. Really?
That sucks.
Nowhere to go.
So I'm going to. You guys have any cool malls?
Yeah.
You know, we have a meeting after the show today, and they got lunch they're going to be serving.
Oh, so that's awesome.
I think they're going to get, like, pizza and stuff.
That's cool.
I like the mall idea because sometimes they have, like, a little shiatsu chair. You could just go sit in that for a few hours.
I have a lot of luggage with me.
You know what? In New York, I walked past this. They have this place that people can just go to. It's just, I mean, it's literally, it's got nothing except for tables and chairs. And it looks like it's a storefront, but you don't have to buy anything.
It has a lot of books in it, right?
No. It just has tables and chairs. That's all it has. And
really?
It's just a place for people to go.
It's probably an internet cafe or something.
No, Kathy. It's just got tables and chairs.
Wait, what the hell are you talking about?
What's it called?
I don't know. Like
tables and chairs.
Personal lounge or something like that.
Trevor, you lived in New York.
Yeah.
You ever heard of anything like
Barnes
that?
Barnes & Noble.
I'm telling you. It just has tables and chairs.
What is it, in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Huh. For non-readers.
Yeah.
People who want the library experience without books. That's
awesome. What it pertains to.
And then just random street corners have giant canisters of, like, nitrogen or something just sitting there.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about either.
I lived there 10 years. I have no idea what it is. It always looks like something has gone horribly wrong.
Right.
And there's always steam coming out of everything.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything's ready to explode. I'm sure in your 10 years you've seen I've seen them. The manhole covers explode.
Yep.
That's a thrill.
Yep. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, on every corner there's a giant canister that says nitrogen, like, warning.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is that sitting there for a car to just crash into?
Yeah. What takes nitrogen to run a city?
Maybe if you need to freeze dry the population.
Wait, here it says, apparently, somebody just pulled up something randomly off the internet. Apparently, Verizon uses the tanks to pump nitrogen gas into the phone lines to keep them dry.
Yeah, right.
I don't buy that.
Trevor, I find that alarming. So where do you call home now? Are you in L.A., right?
I live in L.A.
Yeah. Because you've been doing stuff with, in addition to obviously the new CD and the Whitest Kids, you do stuff with Leno. We were talking about the whole thing just kind of blew up last night. There'd been rumors about Jimmy Fallon moving into Leno's spot and I guess him departing the network. There's been a lot of battling back and forth. You've done some stuff with him. Are you privy to any of this? Or?
I don't know anything about what's going on. I mean, I come in like once a month and I do like one bit a month.
The segments are funny, by the way.
Thanks.
I caught the last one. He, that's one thing Leno does, you know, he does kind of bring in talent and try to cycle people through and give him an opportunity. Has he been cool with you and everything?
Yeah, he's been super nice.
Yeah.
You know, he's a super nice guy. And yeah, they do like a wide variety of stuff there. But yeah, I read it yesterday on the paper, on the Drudge Report, just like everybody else.
right.
I have no idea what's going on there.
Have you ever done the Fallon show? Or
No. Yeah. I've never done that. Yeah.
It just seems wild that they're shifting that out because we were talking in commercial break that's he's going to bring the show back to New York. That'll leave.
Yeah, and they're talking about I read somewhere that they're talking about going back to 90 minutes, too.
90 minutes?
Yeah, because Carson used to do 90 minutes. Yeah.
He used to do, in fact, he used to do 5 nights a week. Then they dropped back to an hour. Then he didn't do Fridays. And then there would be like 2 or 3 days of vacation. And after a while, you'd be lucky to catch Carson on the show. So.
Yeah.
It's a wild thing to see the shift take place. I guess they're going for a younger. They think they're going for a younger demo.
I would guess.
Yeah. It's wild stuff. Did you also when you were in New York? Did you do a year on SNL? Were you working with SNL?
No, I never did SNL. I actually in college I was Lorne Michaels' intern.
Really?
For a year. Awesome. Yeah, my last year of college, I was his intern for a year.
What was that like?
It was.
We hear he's obviously a genius, but that he's quirky.
I worked there for a year, and I spoke with him twice.
Oh, my God, really? No, you were kidding. His intern?
Yeah.
What?
But my job was basically, well, when I got there, I was going to do one semester, and the people who, you know, handled the interns, they said, keep your head down. Don't let anyone know that you do comedy. Really? And just try to stay out of the way. Wow. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And so I did that. And then by the end of my first semester, they were like, you were like the best intern we've ever had. Would you like to do another semester?
Really?
Like,
yeah. So you basically blended into everything.
Yeah, I wore camouflage suits and I just like...
What were your conversations with him? The two.
Hi.
Yeah, really? Basically.
That's it.
It was very. I never said anything. Yeah, it was. My job was to make popcorn in the morning and to arrange stuff on his desk the right way.
Wow.
Oh
wow.
So
did this internship help you? Did it guide you? Did it do some good?
Well, it got me into the Page program.
Okay. All right.
Which is like the NBC Page program. Like,
and that job with the Orville Redenbacher.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah. I'm great at making popcorn.
Yeah. The Page job was at least for many years used to be one of the coveted entree positions into NBC. And
yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's, yeah, they get like 50,000, I think 50,000 applications a year, and they only take 50 people a year.
Wow.
So it's like really, it's like this, all the smartest kids from around the country. But I just got in because I was Lorne Michaels' intern. So it was all these really smart kids and then me. Like, I'm horrible in interviews. I would have never made it in. But I had a letter from like Lorne Michaels, like, I'll let this kid in.
That's cool. So, the Pages still... Well, they don't do the tours anymore, do they?
Yeah, they
do.
Yeah, I did tours for about a year after that.
Like, so you had to do the showing them the old studios and the old Tonight Show.
Yeah, this is Tom Brokaw's desk. This is
cool.
Saturday Night Live.
Were you good at it or
no? I was bad.
I did you make anything up?
I made everything up. I just lied. I would go and show them the Studio 8H, is where they did Saturday Night Live, and I'd be like, they filmed. This is a very historic studio. They used to do symphonies in here. This is actually where they filmed the moon landing. I was like, because the footage wasn't good, so they had to fake it, and they shot it in here. And I just say it, and nobody questioned it. I did it every tour. So.
I love that. I guarantee you, some of the people you're leading through firmly believe that. Yeah, I told you. How are we going to get to another planet?
Wow,
that's wild.
Yeah.
Obviously, the whitest kids, huge following. I know Zach. Is his show still on the sitcom?
I don't know. I think it's
Guys with Kids.
Yeah, there. I think he'll find out. I guess in the next month, whether or not they do another season or not.
Steve, can you play a couple of the clips that you play on our show from the Whitest Kids? Because some of them,
it's one of my absolute favorite clips. It's from the
Lincoln
assassination of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, now you f***ed up, you fat ass piece of shit. What?
It's, well, you have so many. Yeah. One that I love as well is the guys who are talking to each other, and while they're talking to each other, are pissing all over each other. But the fact that Lincoln is heckling, and you're a disgruntled audience member, like, I'm going to do something about this.
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth. Yeah. So you can understand it. Your sense of humor is always, and all you guys obviously are kindred spirits. But you had your own public access show, and the Trevor Moore show that was taken off because it was too controversial.
Well, yeah, I did it. Well, no, I did a public access show in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it got like popular with the UVA crowd.
Okay,
and then
like it was huge for them, right?
Yeah, and then there was this. Remember Pax Television?
Yes,
it was like a religious kind of family network. So a guy who owned a bunch of those stations. Was like, well, I'll buy this show. So basically, when I was like 18, some business guy bought my public access show, kind of like Wayne's World.
Okay.
So I was like, cool. So I got to do it for a year, but he was putting them on these Christian family things, and I wasn't making Christian family like
entertainment.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So I got canceled pretty quick.
And were they showing it like on Saturday mornings? I heard as well. Accidentally,
They would just air it wherever there was like a gap in the schedule. So
and not appropriate for Saturday morning.
No,
at all on a religious channel.
Yeah.
Wait, go ahead.
I have a lot of texts coming on things that I just can't say on the air. referencing you. One of them has to do with the horses unit.
Oh,
MPEG.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
from
that.
The movie.
Okay.
That was the name of the rapper. We had a rapper in the Miss March movie.
Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Whose name was Horse D. Dot MPEG.
That was his name.
Yeah. And then he had a hit song called S My D While I F That A, which is impossible.
Yeah. This is right. the one whose girlfriend bounces out the window.
Yeah. But see, like, we wrote that song, and I was like, and all the lyrics are S my D while I F that A. Yeah. S my D. And it's just repeated ad nauseum through the whole thing. But I still have, like, a songwriter credit for that. And every now and then you get royalty checks for S my D while I F that A because it's on soundtracks. Yeah.
Dad must be so proud.
That's hilarious.
Wow. Jokingly, I mentioned mom and dad. Are your parents big fans of your work?
No.
Really?
They were Christian rockers,
yeah,
right?
My parents were Christian folk singers.
Whoa.
So they had like the number two Christian song in the country in like the 80s.
What was it?
It was called Love Song for Number Two.
Okay.
Look that up.
No, what?
For poop?
No, yeah.
That's not very Christian.
That's not Christian at all.
You know, I grew up hearing that song. I never, ever made that joke. I don't know how that happened.
It's the first thing that came to my mind.
All right, so are they on good terms with you?
Yeah, I mean, no, they like me. They just don't like what I do.
Okay.
Like, I did a song about the Pope. That just came out it came out like 3 days after the Pope like quit his job too, which was like weird timing.
Yeah.
But I showed, they wanted to hear some of my album over Christmas. So I was like, well, I have this music video I could show you. And I showed them the music video for that and it ruined Christmas.
Oh, God.
Why would they even ask? Why don't they adopt a don't ask, don't tell?
I don't know. I think they hope that it, all of a sudden I'll change.
You're change?
Just, yeah.
That you're
know.
Suddenly going to be Amy Grant?
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have one sister. Yeah.
And anybody going more along the religious track?
Do they like them better?
Track?
No, she like went and joined like a Buddhist commune. Like, oh. Yeah, so it's all, yeah. Thanksgiving's awesome.
What you always put on, suck my,
suck my D while I F that A. Oh man. Well, I mean, I'm happy you're successful and everything, but your parents must be cool.
They must be prematurely gray, I would assume. Yeah. Right?
Well, it's funny. Like when we started, the show started coming out, and then kids would take the shows and put them up on YouTube. And sometimes like videos would get like, you know, a lot of traction and be like, oh great, that video went up to like a million views in like a couple of days and stuff. And then my dad would see him and then he'd flag him on YouTube to try to get him taken down.
Oh, really?
And then he'd call me and be like, hey, I flagged your video. And I was like, thanks, I guess.
Thanks for working against me.
How's mom?
How is that whole aspect of it? Cause you guys, the whole viral thing helped build.
Yeah,
you know, your career in a way that stuff was getting floated around immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we started doing we started putting videos up on our website like around the time that YouTube started.
Yeah.
So people just started taking our videos and putting them up on YouTube, and we never had a YouTube channel. Like, so it was just all like kids sending our videos around.
That's
that
wild.
Got them popular.
Yeah. Early on. Yeah. What, with the album, with the CD, whatever the hell you want to call it. what made you decide to put this together? Was you just had these things laying around, or did you?
It was
a concerted effort. I need to get in touch with this part of my artistic muse.
Well, I mean, I always like doing like musical comedy. Like that's always some of my favorite stuff to do in White as Kids. Like I would put out like two music videos in every season.
Right.
And then so I just kind of wanted to try doing a complete album.
Okay.
And kind of span all genres, like, you know, go from country to dubstep to like metal to like pop. And so I went to Comedy Central and pitched it to them and
they dug it.
Yeah. They're like, let's do it.
Are they easier to work with these days? Because we've always heard like there's some horror stories of like people who worked with them and they want like just dominating ownership and all that stuff of things, and now it seems to be that they're attracting higher level people to work with them.
On the record label side.
Yeah.
I found them incredibly easy. I mean, I just told them what the thing that I wanted to do, and they were like, sure, go do it. And you know, I turned it in. They were like, that's great, and they've been promoting it. So I mean, you know,
they're doing the deal.
Yeah, they were pretty. I have no complaints about them.
It's funny going back to like the viral nature of things, because I really started catching White as Kids, you know, stuff mostly because of Steve, and then viral videos that came along. I would catch it on TV rarely, you know, mm-hmm. but I would catch it because somebody would send me a YouTube link. But I often feel like I miss out on cultish type stuff. Like, I haven't seen Miss March, and I feel like there's a part of me that's missing because I love bonding.
Well, now that you've heard the song.
Well, yeah. I mean, seriously, because that's comedy that's right up my alley.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just hadn't gotten around to seeing it yet, you know? And then when I was in college, we'd sit around and watch Billy Madison over and over again and Tommy Boy over and over again, you know? So, like, I always feel like, man, there's just a part that I'm getting old and I'm missing stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, we were pretty deep cable.
Okay.
We were way out there.
What channel was it?
Well, we started out on Fuse.
Right.
And then we went over to IFC.
Okay.
Yeah.
IFC promoted it.
They both did, but it's still it's up there on the channels.
Does it still resurface? Does it still come on regular TV?
Yeah, they still air it. You know, they plug, you know, their schedule with it.
Yeah. You guys want to hear Trevor's mom and dad song?
Yes.
Yeah.
Song,
yeah.
Song for number two.
Oh, you have it?
Here we go.
It's not that I love you less than this.
No bleeps. You don't have to do any bleeps.
In a way, isn't it basically their version of your song?
I mean, that's more sweet than the Carpenters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like,
I can't believe I never put the number two joke together.
Sorry, you're complete opposite of your parents. Like,
it happens.
Yeah, something happened. I don't know.
But you know what? That triggers because, and I throughout your career and throughout the stuff you've done, you know, I think you probably adopt the notion that for better or for worse, I'm going to do it if it makes me laugh. But right? And it makes your buddies laugh and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you catch crap and sometimes it might stall things up, but at least, you know, not to be the Lenny Bruce type thing. But I mean, is that the way you pretty much operated?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you think it's funny and, you know, it's not like, you know, like a jerk thing. I mean,
right,
I don't know.
Go for it.
People shouldn't get offended by anything, really, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
That song sounds like it could so easily have a parody associated with it, because it's just like it's a catchy jingle, and would you ever parody your own parents' song?
Oh, man, that would just ruin many Christmases.
You should do a collaboration. You should just for the hell of it.
I don't think they would do it.
Do a complete collaboration. Yeah, do a dubstep with them.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in, is this the Show Me Your Genitals guy?
That's John LaJoie. He's on the league. Show me your genitals.
Okay, I didn't know where we got that from.
Genitalia, okay.
Right. I guess maybe his voice sounds similar. Are any of these songs, is this any of this going to be performed tonight at the Troc?
I'm going to show, actually, I'm going to show two music videos, one that we haven't really shown anybody yet. That's going to, the video will come out in like a week or so.
The title track on the CD, Drunk Text to Myself, you performed with Reggie Watch, who was a comedian that I discovered when I saw Conan O'Brien do his show at the Tower.
You were raving about him.
And he's just super talented. But Preston, I think this song will speak to you because... I don't know if these are real drunk texts that you actually send to yourself.
Every one of them is.
Really?
But yeah. One of the themes in there is band names that he think would be. And so I have a couple in here, Preston.
Dude, Trevor, I write down stupid band names all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, all right, let me roll this.
Dude, that's a great idea.
I know, right?
You should totally remember that.
I know.
You should totally send that to yourself right now.
Hold on, I'm doing it.
Drunk text to myself. Messages through time. I don't remember any of these. What was going through my mind? Drunk text to myself. Subconscious to my phone. What are these supposed to mean? Should have left this thing at home.
Start a band called Dwarf Cooter.
Dwarf Cooter.
Fat Girls Taking Dumps would also be a great band name.
That's a great name, man. I agree.
See if lolfarts.com is taken.
That's all we have for now.
Do you have the list, any of the band list?
I don't. It's at home.
We have an extensive.
I wish I could.
So we've been there.
Yeah.
The thing to do is to collect them and then sell them to aspiring musicians.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
But Fat Chicks Taking Dumps is.
I would buy a T-shirt.
Right. Exactly. Well, listen, Trevor's kind of homeless right now. So if anybody wants to take him in for a few hours, let us know.
You're more than welcome to hang.
Yeah, you can hang out here if you want to. I mean, it's warm in here. It's snowing outside.
You got
I suggest you stay in here.
I feel sad.
Twitter is at. What is it?
I, Trevor Moore.
Trevor Moore.
Like iCarly.
Okay, that's perfect.
It's just like iCarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool, man. And Drum Text to Myself is the name of his latest CD. But feel free to hang out, all right?
Cool.
Trevor Moore again.
Thanks, guys.
Chalk and Arrow, see the whitest kid you know. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay down.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Illegal cavity search for marijuana conducted in broad daylight on a public roadway in Texas has caused other victims to come forward with allegations of unlawful misconduct by the officers involved.
They're conducting cavity searches on the roadside?
Yeah. All cases currently being reported have been vaginal and anal cavity searches.
Oh, I can see that man's hiney hole.
Conducted by female Texas state troopers on female suspects.
Wow.
None of the women subjected to the cavity searches were suspected of any crime stronger than the alleged use of marijuana, and no arrest as a result of these searches was made.
I would have to think that's a violation.
Troopers report that all searches conducted have been fully submitted to by all victims. However, in at least one video recording, the audio reveals clear audio of the victim screaming as the search is being conducted. Victims continue to come forward.
How were the vaginal checks? Would they hop up on the hood of the car?
No, they would use their hands. And,
oh, my
and they,
God.
They wouldn't take their pants down or anything like that. But listen to this. This woman, Ashley Dobbs, who says that she was searched, she's got a good point. She said, they didn't even search my socks and shoes.
They went right for the vag.
Yeah. I just couldn't fathom how you could search someone's butt and their vagina and not search their socks or shoes.
I think it's just manners. Good manners.
Yeah.
Check someone's socks before you check their vagina. That's what you're told in school.
Right. Their lawsuit against... the Texas Department of Public Safety was successfully settled for a $184,000 suit. This past week, the director chose to rehire the female officer at the heart of the incident as well.
She's heading up the new gynecological division.
They said it was determined that the relatively inexperienced trooper was directed by a more superior trooper to conduct an inappropriate search.
I mean, you would... God almighty, you would think that would be a fireable offense.
Exactly. A man must serve 20 days of jail time for threatening a pregnant woman because she was smoking a cigarette. Justin Dane Palmer pulled over his blue Dodge pickup truck to confront the smoking woman while she walked on the sidewalk.
That's bad for the baby, and if you keep doing it, I'll kill you.
Through the open passenger window, Palmer yelled something to the effect of, "Who the heck smokes when they're pregnant?"
Oh, me, I do.
Well, the woman reported, obviously, I do. She was 8 months pregnant at the time. Now, she shouldn't be smoking in the first place. But in the heated exchange that followed, he called the woman a white trash prostitute and told her she better put the smoke out now.
So he extended an olive branch.
She ignored him and kept walking. And then the woman told police he pulled out a handgun and pointed it at her from a distance of about 10 feet.
Wow.
He then drove off when the light turned green. Steve, it was like you said, stop smoking or I'll kill you. Minutes later, officers pulled over the truck. They found two Glock semi-automatic 45 caliber handguns in the center console of the truck. Palmer admitted to a confrontation but denied pulling out a gun. He was arrested. Prosecutors dropped the charge of second-degree assault with a deadly weapon in a plea bargain, and he's going to have to do 20 days in jail.
Just don't lack smoking.
Steve, you want to have the scream sound effect ready for this particular story. Gentlemen, hang on as I tell you this. A father of one is told how his testicles were left dangling 5 inches down his thigh after he slid off his boat and got them caught on a hook.
Oh!
Pete Lovett was enjoying a day out on his boat when he decided to have a swim and slipped off the boat into the sea. But as he did so, he got his private parts caught on a steel bracket used to carry the jet ski, nearly castrating him and leaving him in danger of bleeding to death.
Let me tell you something. The amount of injuries that can occur during a normal boating trip
are
astonishing. There's stuff sticking out all over the place.
Mr. Lovett said he was left hanging by his sexual organs for several seconds before he pulled himself back up and felt between his legs. He said, I put my arms between my legs and realized to my horror there was nothing there. The accident happened.
Oh, my balls!
Mr. Lovett and his wife, Lorena, and their 21-year-old son, Alex, spent a day on their boat, sailing, swimming, and riding their jet ski. He said, the jet ski was tied to the back of the boat, and I tried to scooch my bum over the steel brackets which the jet ski was tied to.
He brought a bum with him.
Somehow I misjudged how high it was, and the hook pranged my wetsuit, hooked me up, and pulled me backwards. The metal went right through my scrotum, and for 5 to 6 seconds, I was hanging from it.
Oh, my God.
Floating in the sea as it ripped through my scrotum. When I came up, I put my arms between my legs, and my horror found there was nothing there. I scrambled back on board, and Alex, who had been sitting right next to me, said he knew something horrible had happened. He said, Dad, are you okay? And I said, no, it's serious.
No, can you see my balls hanging down about my knees?
He said,
I'm not okay.
His testicles were dangling by just the vas deferens tubes.
Oh, my God.
He said, if it wasn't for the tubes holding my testicles, they would have gone into the sea, and I never would have seen them again.
He must have looked like an upside down snail.
He asked his son to take the jet ski to shore and talk
click clacks
his wife through calling for help as he pressed the gauze onto the wound. A crew was on the scene within 9 minutes. A helicopter was then scrambled to airlift him to the hospital. His legs were dangling 5 inches down his leg.
Dr. Benson, he's our nut man.
Mr. Lovett recuperated for a week before returning to work, but suffered a couple of painful setbacks when the scar split open twice.
Oh, my God.
Now he's fully recovered, though.
Everything works?
He doesn't want any more children, and I don't think he can have children, but... for the most part, everything works. All right, and then one last story. A Houston couple discovered on Saturday that their camera-equipped baby monitor had been hacked when they heard a strange man's voice cursing and making lewd comments in their 2-year-old daughter's bedroom. As Mark and Lauren Gilbert were walking toward the room to investigate, they heard the voice call their daughter a, quote, effing moron and telling her, wake up, you little slut.
Wake up, you little slut. You don't even know how to use a sippy cup.
The hacker then began cursing at the Gilberts when they entered the room, and Mark rushed to disconnect the monitor. Their daughter, Allison, is deaf, so she didn't wake up. Gilbert didn't report the incident to the police, but told ABC News that he's still shaken up and that he doesn't think he'll ever connect that baby monitor again. That's just disturbing.
Yeah. You don't think... Well, you know, but that's the truth, actually, Preston. When I used to have a scanner, like a police scanner, you could pick up baby monitors, no problem.
Oh, yeah. And, Steve, even if you have a baby monitor, if there are other... couples that have baby monitors within a fairly short distance in other houses, you'll pick up their monitor. We used to do that.
I would get cell phones, baby monitors, wireless home security systems. I would get all of that. I was getting the audio. I wasn't getting the video. Yeah.
So we'd have our baby monitor on, and you'd hear crying or something like that, or somebody speaking. Go into the room where the baby monitor is set up and there's nobody there and nothing going on. You're like, first of all, it scares the hell out of you.
Yeah.
So then it takes a little while and you're like, oh, you know, two doors down, they have a baby too. Right. And that's what it is.
It's a real problem in like apartment buildings and townhome communities. And you have to switch it to a separate frequency.
Yes. And there's only so many frequencies.
Exactly.
Usually
they
come with
there's usually two.
There's A and B.
And very little to choose from. Right. And sometimes you end up on the same frequency as somebody else, so that's what ends up happening.
Do the babies end up talking eventually?
But somebody actually hacked.
I'm just hanging out, pooping.
Somebody actually hacked into this one. That's weird, man. All right,
it's disgusting.
Anyhow, that's your B-File. We're going to take a break. Stay right there. We'll return shortly. Shortly, actually. As we'll do shortly.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala.
celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword local shots.
Kala,
Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by AutoPartsExpress.com. For hard-to-find brand-name parts in stock and in our area, order your parts and pick them up in about 30 minutes. AutoPartsExpert.com.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, the wife of notorious drug lord El Chapo, Emma Cornell Aspuro, is in discussions to join a new VH1 reality show called Cartel Crew. The series will reportedly be sandwiched between two other new shows, Pedophile Road Rules and Total Molest Lies.
Oh, my God.
They're actually doing a show based on the wives and girlfriends of these notorious cartel people.
It's unbelievable.
Kanye West and Kim Kardashian spending $3 million on land next to their estate, on which they plan to do some farming. Kim says she's always been interested in growing pasta.
Oh, my God.
And finally, a 17-year-old Fortnite superstar, I don't know if your boys heard about this, Preston, gamer FaZe Jarvis, the younger brother of gaming superstar FaZe K, has been banned from playing Fortnite for life after using cheating software. While FaZe Jarvis was devastated by the decision, he was eventually comforted by advice he received from his father, just a passing phase. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
We want to welcome to our studio Mr. Lamorne Morris.
Yeah. Hi. Hello.
Hi, welcome to Philadelphia, Lamorne.
Thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you. Have you been through this area before?
A while ago.
Yeah.
Probably not through this area. I drove through an area called Nice Town.
Nice Town?
Yeah.
Not so nice. Yes.
Not so nice. Not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Not so nice.
Why are you driving through there?
I had to do a shoot there once. I had to interview a bunch of people. I used to do man on the street stuff for
A BET, right?
BET, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went through Nice Town. You're right. Not so nice.
Not so nice.
The people were. I liked the people.
People are nice.
Yeah, people were nice.
Right.
Town itself, not so
not
nice.
So not so nice.
Yeah. It's like a restaurant that advertises good food.
Exactly.
It usually isn't.
Yeah.
So after you left Nice Town, you just left Philly.
Yeah. I drove back to Jersey.
Where do you hail from? Because I know you were in Second City in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But where are your origins?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Chicago, and then did a little bit of moving around, New York, New Jersey, and then now I'm in L.A.
Second City is a great, legendary breeding ground. Is there an arduous process to get into? Because it for comedians or comedic actors, it's like Mecca. So is it a tough thing, or do you?
It's not a tough thing to start. You can just go to class like anyone else.
Okay, so you can enroll, basically.
You can enroll, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But to jump on a stage, you know, that's a tough process because the list is crazy.
I mean, that's where Lorne Michaels used to go and basically get, you know, the cast for SNL would be there.
Exactly.
And so who are some of your contemporaries that you were there with?
Danny Pudi.
Okay.
From Community was there. Let's see. Well, I don't know. Not a lot of... T.J. Miller.
Okay. People that are up and comers. We were talking off air. We love The New Girl and think it's hilarious. And as I watch that show, sometimes I'm like, man, if I'm a writer on this show, it's so densely packed with stuff that I don't know if people appreciate just how precise the dialogue is and how precise you guys as an ensemble pull it off. I mean, those are... The level of TV comedy, like with Mindy Kaling's show and some other shows, and I know that you had an association with Happy Endings on ABC, a circuitous one. These are really well-written shows, but it's so disposable. You do it, and then you're on to the next thing.
Right.
And, you know, do you ever feel like, man, you almost wish, you know, you could stop and appreciate just how good everything is?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that the third episode of the season, and I will... completely forget.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I shot last week.
Right.
You know, we shoot so much stuff and it's so much packed into each day. And you're right. It's a ton of dialogue. It's a ton of crazy material.
How do you achieve that? I mean, because you guys are all, the ensemble's really solid. Everyone, the characters are so well defined and got so well defined
quickly.
Right.
Which is a hard thing for a show to pull off. But it appears to me that you must be doing like a Judd Apatow kind of, let's do a couple of versions of each take. Because
oh, yeah, for sure.
Is that
for
what
sure.
you do?
Oh, yeah. We have Liz Merriweather sometimes hangs out on set. She's the creator of the show. and we have a couple writers that will hang out too, and you know, we'll get it scripted, but then afterwards we'll just goof around for a while.
And they because I know it's an oppressive schedule, television, but they do allow you that latitude.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, in comedy, you want to make sure you get it,
right?
You want to make sure it works, especially with certain characters like the Schmidt character. He has a ton of like
it's crazy
douchey things to say,
right?
So you know. Funny.
I love when they put him back in the fat suit.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
the funniest.
So great. Steve is talking about the ensemble, and honestly, it's one of the best ensembles I've seen on TV.
Oh, thanks.
And I just hope that like that's how you guys really are in real life. That like, you know, because you're really good friends and you have like a nice history together. With
seems
the
that way.
Yeah, we are.
We goof off. I mean, we spend so many hours a day with each other.
Yeah.
And never argue. We all genuinely like each other.
Do you have a real douche jar that you...
we do. It usually just goes to our camera operator, Casey.
Oh, okay. There's a douche jar. If you've been a douchebag, you put some money in the jar on the show.
Yeah. Voluntarily do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have one at home. It's filled.
So speaking of your camera operator, I was wondering if there was anybody maybe on your crew that is from Philadelphia. You're probably not even aware of this, but there is a scene where it's Nick's dad's funeral, and you're laying in a bed. Winston's kneeling next to you. In the background is a WMMR bumper sticker from back in the day.
Wow.
And we're just wondering.
That's an old one, yeah.
We have no clue how it got there. Wondering if you know if there's anybody from Philly that placed it there or something.
I don't know. It would have to be, if it were, it would have to be Bob New. Bob New, he's in charge of that.
Set decorating?
Set decorating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, find out what his story is. Maybe he's on the FBI witness relocation program
exactly.
Or something.
Bob New?
Bob New, yeah.
Spelled N-E-W?
I completely don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Because we can look that up.
Yeah, look it up.
Speaking of that episode, you had Dennis Farina playing Nick's dad. Oh, yeah. Passed away.
That's
had
right.
The funeral. It was a hilarious episode. And then Dennis Farina dies.
Yeah, a very odd day for everyone.
Yeah. What was it like working with him?
The best.
Yeah.
He's a Chicago guy, too. He's an ex-cop, so he's got all these crazy stories.
Like a cop for decades, right?
Yeah. For over 20 years. And, I mean, he's like he's a Chicago guy, so he's tough. He's, you know, hardcore. His handshakes hurt. He's that kind of dude.
I used to watch that show, Crime Story. I loved it, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good.
Oh, yeah.
And it must have just blown you guys away.
Yeah, you know... It's so weird, you know, working with someone and then shooting an episode like that, and then in real life, it happens. It's something you can't predict.
You did a hilarious, your you know, coffin side take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. The episode was just great. when you're doing that, you build up a friendship with guests. I know you've had Rob Reiner on the show as well, and other guests that come through. When they've come from movies or something, is it hard for them to adapt? Because it's a much different animal, I have to assume, than what it is to do a movie.
Oh, no. They're pros.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they have extensive movie careers, but they also have, like, great television careers as well. So they come in and they actually teach us stuff. We're
cool.
Watching them trying to steal moves and, you know, steal approaches from them.
I love the background history of your character. You were you played Latvian basketball career that didn't go well.
Yeah.
They seemed what I like about the way Winston's drawn is that he's not what you would think.
Right.
You usually you'd be the smooth guy who has all the moves with the women. You're just as awkward as the other guys.
Yeah.
They make you bad, actually. You know, what is your favorite and least favorite character trait with Winston?
Winston is a weirdo now.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see season 3, there's a ton of traits about Winston that are just awful.
Is he going to get something good relationship-wise?
Hell no. That's not funny if he does.
Right.
You know, everyone's in a relationship. I think the more he sucks at relationships, the better.
Right.
He might get lucky. Who knows? Brenda Song is coming back for one more episode.
Oh, she's awesome.
Right. But then, I don't know after that. Rihanna, maybe.
You've been playing for that,
I
right?
have been stalking her. But she don't return my calls or emails or death threats. No.
I like that you're... little quirks, you're afraid of the dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like bubbles.
Yeah, bubbles. You'll see that I like puzzles coming up. I like cats coming up. I thought I had my period once. I'm very emotional. I like fruity drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
The list
with
goes
umbrellas.
On.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With umbrellas. I love bathtubs.
Do you add some of that stuff? Because did you create the character? It was the gay ghost.
The gay old Negro ghost.
Was that
Theodore.
Your creation?
Yes. They had the name, and they didn't know what they wanted to do. They just wanted me to start talking to Nick.
Explain what this character is and what he did.
Theodore K. Mullins is a... he's the guy who sabotages Nick's relationships.
Right.
Can. and I call him an old... First of all, he's the... unemployed black actor.
Okay,
So he's the guy who's over the top, and his acting ability is just so overdrawn. And yeah, like yeah. You know, that's why he never works. That's why he's unemployed.
Right. Yeah.
And then he's an old Negro gay ghost. So,
and do they just say go for it?
Just go.
Yeah.
Just go for it. We had a director on David Wayne who is fantastic, and he's funny and. Just said
he did a Wet Hot American Summer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. They're going to do a sequel to that, I think.
Yeah, and if I'm not in it, I'm going to be very, very pissed.
He's been here. He's a really cool guy.
He's hysterical.
Yeah.
So he just said go, and that was the first time on the show that someone had said, "I'm not going to stop you. Just continue to talk." And I did that. At one point, the cast left, and I just continued to rant.
That's cool. Explain the. There's Damon Wayans Jr. and you mm-hmm. and Happy Endings and the circuitous thing that happened there. Yeah. How did that play out?
It's a weird process. In pilot season, you audition for a bunch of stuff. And
right.
Whatever sticks. And I was auditioning for New Girl and a CBS show at the exact same time.
Okay.
I was testing, which was my final audition for New Girl, when CBS made me an offer. That I, you know, when you're an actor, you can't pass on an offer.
No. Yeah.
So I had to take the CBS show, and then Fox came back right after and said, "Hey, if we make you an offer, will you take it?" But it was a little too late.
Right.
I had already signed up to do the CBS show. They then went and cast Damon Jr., Damon Wayans Jr. Problem is Happy Endings was going to get picked up for season two.
So he's got another thing.
He's got another show. So then there's no one left to do this. And so they went and re-auditioned a ton of people. I think I auditioned 15 times.
Really?
For the show, yeah.
Wow.
Does that happen much? You see where an actor gets two, you know, because you said there's a pilot season.
Yeah.
You get two offers, and mm-hmm. if you make the wrong choice, you're just...
Exactly.
Oh, man, you know?
Exactly.
But, dude, you were just out of Second City. I mean, it wasn't that long before you were getting offers on two shows.
Yeah, it was a weird process. You know, I was doing Second City, and then I started hosting for a while, which I hated.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I just couldn't. I didn't like...
You didn't like going to...
I didn't like doing red carpets.
Oh, okay.
That was it. It was it was the red carpet thing, and too many times they would go, "Hey, go and ask that guy what he's wearing." I'm like, nope, not going to do that.
Not your style.
I had to ask Rick Ross what he was wearing once, and he was wearing a T-shirt. I kid you not. And he laughed at me.
I feel like you're asking people questions that they don't want to answer, even if they're simple questions. Like, you're there to do a job.
Right.
It just seems like you're put in a really tough spot.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, I've seen you, though, interviewed at various events, and you seem to be very understanding of the plight of the interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
So you play along nicely.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you appreciate the task that they have.
Oh, yeah. It's good to be on the other side of it, just listening and responding, as opposed to trying to come up with stuff to, you know, to inquire about.
Sure. We love Zooey Deschanel, and, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, seems... Is she every bit as quirky and...
She's a little more serious than that.
Is she?
She's really funny, but she's like extremely smart, extremely business minded as well. So she's always scolding me for stupid purchases and
really
dumb ideas that I have.
What's something stupid you've purchased recently?
You know, a Grand Coupe BMW.
Really?
Yeah, I definitely have one of those. Yeah. And she definitely thinks it's dumb.
a little more granola-y, is she?
Yeah.
Does she drive a Prius or something?
She used to.
Yeah, of
really?
Course. Yeah.
She has a really awesome car, Tesla now.
She's got a Tesla. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's so like awesome. The Mercedes of Priuses.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
It's an electric car. Yeah. It's the only one that looks cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a beautiful car.
Hey, Lamorne, I wanted to ask about you're going to be portraying Martin Luther King Jr. in Drunk History.
Yes.
which is...
Great series.
We started watching that when the first couple of... episodes online mm-hmm. ran, and we're like, this is hilarious. So you take on the role of one of the great civil rights leaders of all time. How was that?
Fantastic.
Yes.
What's funny is
the drunken take on the greatest civil rights.
Exactly. Yeah. I really would want... I don't want to tackle too many like historical figures.
Right.
But that's one role that I would love to play.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I've wanted to for a while. I used to imitate him as a, I guess it's going back to the ghost thing.
It's all about gay ghosts.
Gay ghosts. Yeah. I did a skit a while ago that I took down. It was pretty bad. It was pretty stupid. But it was the ghost of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And it was just him coming back to give his I Have a Dream speech. And people are kind of like, I don't want to say over it, but people are like, dude, we heard this before. And he's like, oh, what year is it? And it's like, yeah. It's like, oh, my bad. And he's like right. Reading the paper, trying to figure out exactly what's current, what's going
sure,
on.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But on the drunk history thing, I mean, you have to basically mimic what a drunk person is saying.
Yeah.
And while you're going through that and you're trying to, is that written out for you or do you
yeah.
just have to, okay.
It's written out. It's written out just like a script.
Okay.
And then it's you shoot it like a music video. So
they're playing the audio along while you're singing
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it's fun. Very fun process. It's easy. It's really easy and fun, yeah.
You have a number of characters. We were talking about you had had, it was keying off Trinidad.
Trinidad James.
James,
yeah.
who didn't like your parody of the character. When you do stuff like that, are do you care what their reaction is going to be? Or does it... Do you just say, forget it, I'm doing this, and that's it?
If I know the person,
yeah.
I would care.
Yeah.
If I don't know the person,
care less.
I don't really care. You know, right. I mean, I would love, you know, they're in a great position. I would love for someone to imitate me.
Right.
And I was talking with a buddy of mine a while ago, this guy Brandon T. Jackson, and he said, would you rather be imitating someone or be the person getting imitated?
Yeah.
And I'd rather be the person getting imitated.
Because you're at that level. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
It's a compliment.
We had him in studio for Percy Jackson, right?
Percy Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was also in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Al Pacino, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's so good.
Al Pacino.
Exactly.
On the show you do, it's a pogo, right? Where you talk about your roommates... Behind their backs,
yeah.
Of your other castmates, give us a little pogo insight into each of them.
Max Greenfield, he talks way too much about working out.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. That's like his life. Like he's addicted, and
really?
it's great to like. I learn from him like certain things, but then sometimes it's like very like I didn't ask you a question. It's like, dude, I crushed it in the gym this morning.
Oh, like, that is one of my huge Twitter pet peeves.
What is it?
Crushed it. Crushed cat buys and tries today. Killed it. Who cares? So he's doing
addicted.
That.
He's yeah. addicted. He's addicted. Let's see. Jake, I don't Jake the massive alcoholic.
I can see that. We had him in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and the night before he was in the studio, he was at a Phil's game, and he caught a foul ball.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So he told you
that's
about
what
that.
I heard. Okay. So, yeah, I tried to catch a foul ball once at a game. Yeah. I threw out the first pitch of the White Sox game, and so I had this idea that if the ball comes my way, I'll have a beer in my hand,
yeah,
and I'll hold up the logo. So as the ball's coming... I'll pretend to be really cool and catch the ball. It won't hurt. I'll look really awesome, and I'll hold up, and I'll drink the beer in slow motion.
Yeah. Wow.
$1 million.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, guaranteed.
This actually happened. The ball, as we're leaving, flies up in our direction, and I act like the biggest, like, idiot. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God! We're all, like, fighting for the ball. And I was like, damn it. I wasn't very cool in that moment.
But that's a brilliant plan to give to someone who happens to be lucky.
Yep.
What about Hannah Simone is her name?
I mean.
She's gorgeous.
What pogo would she possibly have? She's in a relationship.
Okay. With a celebrity?
No.
Okay.
With a regular guy, regular awesome dude.
Yeah.
She got to be single, man. That's the pogo.
That's the pogo. Yeah. No, she's pretty. When they talking about her for a while as possibly being in 50 Shades of Grey. She was a name that kept popping up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You like to see that?
No, it'd be weird.
It'd be weird, right?
That'd be weird.
When you're on a show with an ensemble, I don't know mm-hmm. what your current situation is, but is it a case of don't dip into that that pool for dating or romance?
Yeah, I don't think you want to.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to. Everyone on the show is taken except for myself. The lonely black dude in the corner over there. Just roaming these streets looking for strange.
Well, how long are you in town for? Because maybe we can help you out.
Yep. Depending on the schedule you're going to set up for me with dates, I'll stay here forever.
Sure. So any big thing for the actual premiere? I mean, I know it's not like films, but is there a viewing party? Do you go home and just get a... TV dinner and watch it yourself, or
really lonely with no pants on,
right?
Right, crying,
right.
No, I used to have I usually have friends come over,
okay,
and just watch a few friends.
You don't mind watching yourself?
No, okay. No. There was a time where I was broke and I wasn't on TV,
mm-hmm.
And those are very depressing years. So now I'm very happy.
Are you? I was watching a special on Steve McQueen, and they were saying that, you know, a lot of actors, I don't like to watch myself. He would watch himself all the time because he was like, okay, that worked, that didn't work.
Right, exactly.
He wasn't doing it because he was egocentric. He wanted to improve the craft.
Oh, yeah,
And is that the same with you?
100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. You have to.
Right.
And they give us, I don't watch it necessarily when it comes on, but they give us DVDs after it airs, you know, in our trailers. So I'll just pop it in and check it out. You know, it's always good to take notes.
Is there a thing like dailies in TV where you go and watch what you've shot for the day, or you watch right in the moment, or?
No, I think the executives get to watch it.
Okay.
The executives watch it and they check it out, but the cast, no.
All right.
Not at all.
How do you critique yourself and what about your acting style? Do you wish you could improve or you think you could do better?
I'm one of the best of all time.
Right, right. Fair enough.
So you're very, you're wholly critical.
I think I could
critical.
Get to the best of all time.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you about a scene.
Yeah, that Denzel's such a hack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about a scene that you did. It's whenever I think of you and when we were booking you, I always think of the scene because I just loved how awkward you were. But the bar scene where you first meet Brenda Song's character.
Oh, What did you think of your performance there?
I loved it.
It was weird. It was very weird, especially playing something that you're not... I know how to talk to women.
Yeah.
Not in a smooth way, but in a goofy way, but I can carry a conversation.
Right.
And Winston can't.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was very funny to have to do that. I don't know. I rarely critique myself. I don't know.
It's brilliant that the writers would fight the urge to make you the smooth, you know, Billy D kind of guy, mm-hmm. and make you just as awkward as everyone else.
Yeah. I would like to. I would like to play a smooth Billy D character, but he's not getting out what he's supposed to be saying. You know, he's just smooth for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I went number two today, baby. Did you go number two? You don't go number two. But what possibly? Does it smell? Does it? No? All right. This is weird. This is very weird.
Did you have to learn the lyrics to these songs from Wicked that you were singing? There was an episode where you're just, and clearly, know far too much about Wicked, yeah.
And I had the flu too, and I was very disappointed in myself for being sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to hit like those certain high notes, man. You know, I'm a perfectionist.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So you're one of the best of all time.
Yeah, of all time. Like in music too.
In music too.
Yeah.
You remember Philip Michael Thomas? His dream was to get that a necklace that said EGOT. Emmy.
Yes, that's right.
Oscar Tony.
That's right.
Did he ever get any one of those letters?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Is that Barbara Streisand has got that?
Yeah, she does. Rita Moreno.
Yeah, a few. Hey, we had Boyz II Men in studio one time, and I wanted to sing for them because I loved Boyz II Men.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sick that day. And these guys didn't know, but I was like, dude, I'm totally going to sing the beginning, the Please Don't Go. And then, so I busted, but I couldn't do it. I was sick and I couldn't hit the notes. I was
Yeah, but
so
are you
mad.
Sick now?
Yeah.
How about now?
No, I'm not going to do it now. I've built it up too much.
That's cool.
Well, they did it while they were here, though. But
the show is awesome, and some of the this is really great mm-hmm. comedy, great ensemble. Fox mm-hmm. has a number. I love Mindy Kaling's show as well, awesome. And it's
and season three. I mean, dude. That ain't happening much these days.
I know. Awesome. Yeah. Very lucky. We're very lucky.
It is.
Yeah. So anybody listening that hasn't watched the show ever, please go back to the beginning and watch it. It is a really, really well written, well acted show.
Absolutely, sharply written.
Well worth it.
And it's also it's got a bizarre angle to it, and it's real but not so real. It's very cool.
Here, wait, before we wrap things up.
It's Lamore and Singer.
Yeah, that was a C. I hit a high C.
You could tell.
Yeah.
Well, the third season premieres Tuesdays on Fox. Make sure that you do watch. Lamorne, thanks for coming by, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Lamorne Morris, guys.
Yeah.
The new girl on the Preston and Steve Show. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay down.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.